become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you.
Don't speak. You have weak ankles. One of your calves is bigger than the other. Too much makeup. Not enough makeup. What's with the skin? Say it with me. Sunlight. Male cheerleaders. Enough said. Smile. Don't smile.
Check.
Good general tone and musculature. Report those compliments to your ass before it gets so big it forms its own website. And you. I take you to be the captain, which means you'll probably need more work than anyone.
Look, you don't...
No. Don't speak. Don't think. Listen and learn. I am a choreographer. That's what I do. You are cheerleaders. Cheerleaders are dancers who have gone retarded. What you do is a tiny, pathetic subset of dancing. I will attempt to transform your robotic routines into poetry written with the human body. Follow me, or perish, sweater monkeys.
Go, Tom!
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Herb, clean up on aisle 4.
Aisle 4, check.
Herb, clean up in produce.
Next.
May I have a half a pound of ham?
Boiled, baked, smoked, salt-cured, sugar-cured, prosciutto, or Westphalian.
All right, forget it. Just tell you what, just give me a half pound of salami.
Italian, kosher, hard pork, beef, cotto, or what?
Just get bologna, mister.
I'll tell you what, just give me a quarter pound of cheese.
American, blue, cream, cottage, gouda, Edam, provolone, Romano, Swiss, you have your entire cheddar family.
Can you run the hams back one more time? I just want to...
Salami, half pound of Swiss, half pound of Virginia ham, two celery. Oh, I think these are on special.
Doesn't matter. Sorry, really.
Let me check.
Are these Kotex maxi pads on special?
Never mind, Herb. Sorry, forget it.
Kotex, 19 cents off.
Thanks.
Herb, clean up on aisle 7.
Herb, we were never in aisle 7. I'm telling you, honest. But I'll tell you something. I take a lot of pride in my work.
Dad?
Oh, now, son, you're going to have to get out of here now. This is a meeting.
Just a minute, Alex. Daddy's talking. I know that's not real popular right now, you know, taking pride in your work. But I did. I cared. You fired me for it. If you ever talk to my kid like that again, I'm knocking you out.
Dad, is Mommy home?
Not now, kid. I'm talking here.
I warned you, Jinx.
Oh! Gee, one punch!
That
to your breakfast and eat hearty. For tonight, we dine in hell!
Boom! Boom goes the dynamite! Holy crap! Hello, everyone! It is episode 300! Whee! I just blew my ears out, Steven. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Episode 300 of Entertainment Landfill, the show that delivers you film, television, and pop culture, and all that kind of stuff. I am the J-Strom. Welcome to the show. 300 episodes. Incredible. And this isn't a solo show. I don't do the show by myself. I do it with Steven the Pop Culture Zealot. Hello,
hey,
Steven.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey-o. How's it going, Steven?
Good. How about you?
Can you believe it, Steven? 300 episodes.
This is the last one?
maybe. We'll see how the show goes so far.
Just kidding.
Yeah, Steven, 300 episodes ago, a helicopter crashed on the show.
Oh, how it starts.
And on that first show, it was just you and I, and then later Vanessa, but episode two, Bill arrived. And hopefully he's still with us here now. Bill, are you there? Mulberry Bill,
yes.
The Mulberry historian.
I'm here.
There's that dramatic pause for Bill.
Yes.
Well, hey, I was Bill. Reaching into something. I didn't want to make too much noise, so.
Hello, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
And it's funny. My neurotic dog of all times gets a ball stuck under the chair. And now she's all upset because she can't reach it. She's going to be yelping in the background.
I want my ball!
She acts really weird with balls, Bill, where she will roll it with her nose and then stand and just stare at it and tilt her head and just stare at it sitting still. And then she'll like bark at it. Like she's like, I think she thinks it's alive.
Oh, like she's, okay, yeah. Well, that
makes sense.
She's
like, why aren't you moving? Why aren't you alive?
Why won't you play with me?
Oh, Steven got her ball. Thank you so much, Steven. That was awesome. She'll get it stuck under there again in about 10 minutes.
Don't now, go anywhere.
Guys, I just wanted to thank Bill and Steven. Thank you guys so much for 9 years of Millwall and Mulberry and now Entertainment Landfill. Awesome. It's been a great time. You know, we've done the show with both of my sisters. We've had many guest stars. You know, we've had Andy. We've had Adam. We've had all these.
Bill's sister.
Yeah, Bill's sister was even on the show. Mick McCart one time. Sean Uyoka did the DVDs one time. Remember that? And if I'm forgetting anyone else, I apologize. A lot of people. Adam, of course. Adam from the
Special
Bay Area.
Guest star Eugene.
And we've got a lot of voicemail, guys. The people came out of the woodwork. Can I tell you right now, we have about 11 voicemails.
Wow. Jesus. Okay, well, then we'll just drop news.
No, that's not necessary, Bill. Come on, this is our 300th episode. We don't know how long it's going to be. But also, you know, we're going to have something very special, Bill, is one of the rewards for being a patron of a certain amount is that you get to be on the show.
Okay.
You spend a segment with us, talking to us, and I've been in contact with different patrons, and Ken Proventure wanted to call in on the 300th episode. So I'm going to call him here in a minute, and hopefully everything will go smoothly if I add to group call and not hang up on Bill. What do you think, Bill?
Yay, you're the master control program.
Well, here's another thing. He is going to choose a show for us to watch. Remember, one of the rewards is we will watch a show of your choice for an entire season. And
it's worked out well so far with The Strain. Rob Bickmore chose that.
Yeah, pretty sweet. And I'm not sure Adam from the Bay Area has made a choice yet, but I'm going to call Ken right now, and let's get him on the line, Bill. If anything happens, I'll call you back immediately, all right?
All right, no problem. Okay,
here we go. Adding to group call, we have Flo on the soundboard. She's Ken. Are you there, sir?
I'm here.
Hey, Ken. Yay. This is Ken Preventure, everyone. Yay. I won't play a drop in case it messes with the bandwidth or anything. No, but Ken, so great to have you here. Ken is one of our patrons. And welcome to the show, the 300th Entertainment Landfill. Welcome.
Well, I am honored to be on episode 300, let me tell you.
That show is now Preventurous.
Well, I'm really glad you pronounced the name perfectly. Most people don't get it right. You pronounced it perfectly, so just keep going. You can keep making fun of it all you want.
That's awesome.
No, oh, please, I'm the one with Laughner, so...
Yeah, Bill Laughner. Yeah, keep laughing.
Hey, I'm pretty good at last names. I'm pretty good at that. We have another patron, Paul Ty, and he said, hey, you got my name right. And I was like... well, Colonel Ty on BSG is pretty much spelled the same way.
That was by default.
Yeah. So, Ken, one of the, rewards as a patron, and not just to be on the show with us.
This is a reward already.
Well, thank you so much. That's awesome. And, you get to pick a show for us to cover for one entire season. Any show you want, we won't hold anything against you. Just not Honey Boo Boo, okay?
Okay. Now, okay, I can reveal it to you now. And it took some thinking, let me tell you. You know, because I have to think not what's just good for me, you know, but what's good for the show. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I know I told you already, Jason, my first idea came up when a few weeks ago on the podcast, Bill, he was trying to remember... you were talking about Twin Peaks, and Bill was trying to remember the name of the little person in Twin Peaks and just couldn't remember it. Right. And I thought that was so funny, but I was just cracking up at Bill's, you know, and he just kept trying to remember and yet couldn't. And I thought, okay, that's the show. You know, I want that to be the show just so Bill will get the guy's name, if nothing else, you know.
Yeah.
But then a couple of weeks later, Jason, I think the Blu-ray box set of the series was coming out, and Jason, you said just outright, you know, apropos of nothing, you just did not want to see the show. You just did not want to watch it at all. So I thought, all right, even though it is a great show, I'm not a sadist. You know, I take no pleasure in putting people through misery. So. So no,
you're not a true David Lynch fan then.
I find great pleasure in David Lynch, actually more pleasure than pain, but the pain is there for sure. My second idea, and Jason, this is not my final choice, but I had suggested my favorite show, which is Pawn Stars, because, and I don't know if you guys know that show. But
I know it well. My father watches it regularly.
It's my favorite show. I will admit. There's something about it that just
there's entertainment hooks me. Value there. We could definitely get entertainment value out of that show.
Yeah.
Well, I thought about it, and I thought, well, we can go with that if you want. But I thought it's not a show that it doesn't really. I'm not sure we'll give the podcast good clips or drops. It's a little mellow. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of, entertaining trash talk or, you know, or phrases that jump out. It's a little lame in that respect, you know. So I had a third idea, which, cause I thought to myself, what show would at least give good material, you know, for drops or whatever. And it's The League.
The League. Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
I've never actually seen that, but I have heard of it.
Okay.
That's the Nick Kroll show?
Yeah, on FX.
Okay, yeah. I've seen bits and pieces of it. It's very funny, very well written.
It is. It's very sharp, and it nails that, you know, that douchebag competitive, you know, testosterone, you know, a dork mentality that I think we all can relate to in some way, you know.
Definitely.
And I thought, and at the very least, there's a lot of good trash talk on the show that might at least give good drops. But I will support Pawn Stars completely if that's what you'd rather do.
Okay.
I'll actually leave it up to you.
Well, that, Pawn Stars, we could easily say, like, the League, we'd probably have to start from season one to understand it, or would we jump in on the new season, or Pawn Stars, just start watching it right now.
That's true. So, yeah. The season premiere of the League is September 3rd on FX. And, they might just pick up, like, from, you know, from the previous and just, you know, if you might have to catch up. So we can go with my favorite show, just for sentimental value, I suppose.
I will definitely, like, Pawn Stars, is there a new episode, like, next week?
There seem to be, it's confusing, because depending on what you look at, they're either in season 8 or season 11, and okay. There just seem to be new episodes coming out every Thursday, and I don't know when this season ends or the next one begins.
I'll tag it and watch it and see if I can get some good clips out of it. And are you sure you don't want us to watch Lizard Lick Towing?
Whoa, wait, now. let's back up a minute.
this is a show my wife busts me. She walks in, she goes, "Oh my God, what are you?" And I'm like, no, I'm turning it. And
are they Repo Men?
Yes.
Yeah, it's this totally phony show that they play for real, where these guys tow cars, they repossess cars.
It's all based on stories that have happened, but it's all reenacted.
They're good old boys. And my favorite episode is where the guy got stabbed in a parking lot.
Well, the big ball-headed guy gets maced in the episode.
Yeah, they get maced and they get in fights all the time. It's a great show. It's not really a great show, but...
Well, it certainly has the greatest title since the Pants Off, Dance Off.
I don't know. I was kind of partial to Hardcore Pawn.
Oh, God.
Oh, what channel is that? Is that like a ripoff of Pawn Stars?
Yeah, it is a ripoff.
It's like a Chicago area or something.
Oh.
Detroit, something like that.
Oh, well, that sounds just so entertaining.
And there's Cajun Pawn, which I just want nothing to do with.
I haven't seen that
one in a
while.
Well, isn't Cajun Pawn the one that got in trouble? Like, the original Pawn Stars didn't know they were doing it? Or is that Pawn Stars New Orleans or something? There was some controversy a little while back.
Yeah, it was History Channel trying to extend the brand, but without the endorsement of the original creators.
Okay.
But the Pawn Stars seem to always be in legal trouble in one way or another.
Well, see, okay. I know Pawn Stars quite well. My dad watches it, so I know Rick Harrison and Chumley and Haas and the old man, and I know the whole vibe. There was one time where there was a crossover, I think. No, it wasn't. It wasn't a crossover, but it was one of those storage shows where one of the guys found an original Nintendo, and he reads the serial number on the bottom of it, and he's like, "Hey, man, this is an NES-001. These are rare." And he's saying it's, like, worth $10,000, and they take it to a store. And they're like, "This is $5, maybe?"
Maybe.
So I watching those sort of things.
I remember you talking about that before.
Yeah, so it's ridiculous.
Ken, I'm going to watch Pawn Stars, the new episode, next week and cover it on the show. And then when the League starts, I'm going to watch it and see if I can get into that. But I will start covering Pawn Stars now. That would be fun.
I think it is. It's very entertaining. And sometimes you learn things. It's like history detectives for the
Rick
History Channel.
Rick is a pretty smart guy. He knows a lot of stuff.
And Stevens watch it too, so there we go.
Yeah, I have nothing to do but sit in hotel rooms and watch bad TV. So.
That's
awesome.
That's where I watch Pawn Stars, in hotel rooms. Absolutely.
Most excellent.
Yeah, I think it's a great combination of history lesson and human psychology. You know, with all the bartering that goes on, just the naked desperation and greed of these folks in Las Vegas trying to unload their family heirlooms, you know, for shekels. It's great. Yeah,
just so they can go gamble them all away.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. I can't wait to watch this. I've never watched it before.
It's really interesting. I'm sorry. I'm talking over you. It's
You're encouraging me to want to watch it. I'll check it out.
Well, they've created other shows off of that with, like, the American Restorer, which is a... When they get stuff in at the pawn shop and they need it restored, they go to this one guy.
It's a, I
and
know
he fixes
that
it all up.
The Kevin Smith show, Comic Book Men, it's a ripoff of this show, isn't it? Basically, Pawn Stars. Oh.
Yes.
Basically, yeah.
But instead they bring in comic books, and then they have
books or figures or whatever.
And then they have an expert they call at certain times.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, they have a bunch of experts they call in from the History Museum, from, you know, whatever, different places.
Yeah, there's a guy that could be
the guy from
George R.R. Martin's double that runs the museum, and there's a couple people like that on it. But do you remember the show Insomniac with Dave Attell? It was on Comedy Central.
Yes.
He actually did an episode where he went to that store before it was ever popular, that Pawn Stars store.
Sweet.
Yeah, and Rick Harrison's there, and I think he actually has a little bit of hair back then. But if you look on YouTube, it's really kind of interesting to see it kind of like before they were stars vibe to it. And he's there at like 3 a.m., and they have this drop box that people put things in that they have to evaluate because they don't open the store after dark.
Right.
So it's quite interesting.
Well, Ken, having you on the show, is there anything you wanted to talk to us about? Any new movies or anything that you've seen?
Oh, God, I'm terrible at new stuff. I catch up on everything on planes, every movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe I've seen on a plane.
Yeah, you probably passed Steven in airports.
He's probably sat next to me on a plane, and we both got headphones on and ignore each other.
Yeah, my last flight was 11 hours, and I saw Spider-Man 2, Captain America 2, Thor 2. The latest movie I saw in a theater was 22 Jump Street. So that tells you how out of it I am.
That's cool. So is it edited on an airplane?
But hey, how about I talk? I can talk a bit about your show and sort of my connection to the show, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, you know, this is kind of the Patreon thing has been great because some listeners have been calling in and talking about, you know, their connection to the show and how they got into the show. And
I love that.
And I know one thing, and I think Ross was one, and there was maybe a couple of others who were specific about, you know, what it meant to them, especially during, you know, difficult times. And, you know, just to give you my, this is, I'll be quick, you know. I was a listener since 2008, but I became a diehard in, you know, 2011. I was over in Tokyo doing some work there, and there was the earthquake and the tsunami and all of that going on, and it was a bit of a stressful time. And I had taken a bunch of episodes with me just because I knew I'd be doing a lot of desk work and listening to that. But it was during that time, that stressful time, when I listened to a lot of the older shows and just kind of, it was just a great relief and a great, you know, great entertainment to take your mind off of, you know, and I remember specifically the batch of shows I listened to was when you guys were sort of suffering through Heroes, like when Heroes was getting just too much for you to handle, and you were like openly despondent about having to see this thing, you know, week after week. And I just found that hilarious, and probably because, you know, I needed, you know, some laughs. But just, you know, hearing you guys, suffering through Heroes and then raving about Friday Night Lights and, shows, by the way, I've never seen either show, you know, Heroes or Friday Night Lights. I don't watch most of what you talk about.
Right.
I know it mostly through what you say about it. So, and that's what I like about the show. You know, it doesn't matter like what you talk about, but it's great the way you talk about things. You're very personal, and I really appreciate the personal way you go about talking about this stuff. So that's just that's when I really, you know, became a diehard, was you know, back in 2011. So,
well, thank you, Ken. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, not to blow smoke up your ass, as Gordon Ramsay would say, but. Yeah, you guys are great, and I really appreciate having this chance to tell you in person. And you always give 175,000,000% of yourselves.
I always try to. And you know,
even if it's just a couple, you know, points less, we get as close as possible.
What's funny about those shows like Heroes or Smallville, even though it's like we thrive if it's bad. It's like, it helps, it gives us more material to work with, you know?
Right.
When it's bad, you know, because we also cover good shows like Friday Night Lights or whatever. So it's a good balance.
Yeah, Smallville was the other one where you can just sense the deflation in you as you're trying to make sense of like of not just the show itself, but your dedication to it. Yeah, I had a lot of good laughs at that.
Well, especially in the later days of Smallville, whenever it turned into like ads for certain things. Like there was an entire episode that was centered around a gum.
It was always like that, Bill.
Was it really?
Yes.
Maybe my memory's fading on it.
That gum episode you're talking about was probably like 5 years before it went off the air, you know?
Oh, wow.
It just all kind
of
blends
together. And we all watched that from the start. I mean, that was a show that we covered from the start of it.
I kind of picked it up in season 3 or something like that.
Okay.
I think I came in season 2. I spot caught the first season, you know, every once in a while.
It's one of our early episodes. Bill and Steven are telling me about the show. And I'm like, okay.
The storm clouds. Yeah, the storm clouds approaching for Jason. Yeah.
I'm like, okay. In fact, there's an episode where you guys are telling me about Hell's Kitchen. I'm like, all right, I'll watch it next week or something like that. And it was all downhill from there.
Those darn food shows get us.
Well, Ken, thank you so much for sharing that with us. That was awesome.
Sure. Well, again, I'm glad to have the chance to. And so this is before all the voicemail comes in. Is that right?
Yeah, we have like 11 voicemails to play. Woohoo!
All right. Well, I'll let you get to it. But since this makes me – so I'm the first listener to congratulate you on 300 episodes. Am I right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, great, guys. I'm really glad to have this chance to talk with you. And, you know, I look forward to hearing more. I might leave some more voicemails and – But yeah, I'll let you get on doing what you do, doing that voodoo that you do so well.
Awesome. And I love feedback. So yes, any more voicemail or anything you want to, or if you want to call us again, do it. It's going to be awesome.
All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ken.
All right, Ken. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Steven, the first thing I want you to do is get the ball for baby because she's driving me crazy. The whole time Ken was talking to us, Bill, you could hear baby going, because she's like trying to get the ball under the thing. Just throw it outside. Damn dogs. Whose idea was it to get a dog, Bill?
I don't know, man. I told you not to.
Should have gotten a hamster.
Yeah.
Steven shuts the door. She's just going to scratch it.
Yeah, that's not nice, Steven.
All right. Let's
all shut all the way.
Wasn't that awesome hearing from Ken? That was pretty
sweet. Yeah, that is.
And we have a couple of other listeners that we're going to have on the show at a future date, which will be awesome. Like Adam Sexton, we'll have him on. And, okay, let's begin this cavalcade of stars. The first one is Stephen Fraidnot Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
I was waiting for somebody to. All right, let's check it out.
Hey, guys. It's Steve Fraidnot from back in the day up in Canada. Just want to say, you know, huge congratulations for 300th show, 9 years old, all that stuff. You know, tons of fun, pop culture stuff, and keeping everybody happy through work shifts and stuff. You know, great long-lasting podcast. Hope you guys keep it up forever. Congrats. Bye.
Thank you so much, Steve. That's awesome. Stephen Fraidnot Anderson. I just realized you didn't shut the door all the way, Stephen, so baby couldn't come all the way in. Her, like, head was sticking in. Okay, our next voicemail is Rob Bickmore. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys, this is Rob Bickmore. I just want to say congratulations on reaching your 300th episode. It's a great achievement and something to be proud of. I've been a listener for many years now, ever since Andy Sims talked about Mulberry on the Hollywood Saloon. So like a lot of people, I have Andy to thank for introducing us. I doubt I'll be able to listen live tonight, as it will be 2 a.m. here in the UK when you start. But have a great show. I look forward to hearing it soon. Cheers. Bye.
Thank you, Rob. It's so cool to hear his voice after all this time. And it's so cool to be reminded that we have an international audience.
I think that's the coolest part. I mean, we have people all over the world, and it's a little – it's stupefying. It's like, wow, what did we do to the – We actually have to have listeners everywhere.
Yeah, it literally blows my mind. It's just like, whoa. Okay, now our next voicemail is pretty special because it's a guy who gives feedback, but never in voicemail form. And that is Swiley. A rare Swiley voicemail. Let's check it out.
Entertainment Landfill, this is Swiley making my rare voicemail appearance. I apologize for the voice. I have the cold from hell, which is somewhat contradictory. Sniffles. Okay. Congratulations, and you deserve so much success. I cannot speak the words right now. I am awesomely impressed that you've made it to 9 years and 300 episodes. That is truly awesome. Every time you put on a show, it is absolutely worth everyone's time to listen. And I hope that my feedback is pleasant to your eyes as your show is to my ears. For the 300th episode, I offer you a challenge. Join the 300 Club. Look it up on Wikipedia. In order to do so, you must go to Antarctica. First of all, get naked. Jump into a hot tub that's been heated to 200 degrees Fahrenheit. I think that's something like 160 something degrees C. What does C stand for? Like communist, I think. Okay.
Communist. So,
get into a hot tub, about 10 minutes, jump out of the hot tub completely naked, run around the South Pole. At that point, it should be about 100 degrees negative 100 degrees Fahrenheit, making the difference 300 degrees, and then jump back in the hot tub and you have completed the 300 Club Challenge. Congratulations, okay. Mulberry.
It's never going to happen.
Entertainment Landfill, whatever you guys are called. I hope you guys continue the show. I enjoy it so much. Thank you. Good night and good luck.
Thank you so much, Swiley. That's awesome. Swiley, he'll always have a special place in my heart. He gives us such awesome feedback. His Swiley's Chronicles of Nim is incredible. I love it. And couldn't we just do 300 episodes to join the 300 Club?
Yeah, as long as it's not the 700 Club.
2005 through 2014, pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Come on.
9 years.
You know, it was funny. I sometimes listen to the stupid Android podcast, Android Central podcast, just because I hear about tech stuff. You know, I'm a nerd about phones and stuff. And they were like, hey, our next episode is our 200th. And I was like this, 200.
You guys are losers.
Yeah.
Try again.
Thank you very much, Swiley. And
they probably label them like seasons, like 105, and they did like 30. And they're like, okay, well, let's go to season 2, 201.
I thought of doing something like that, but I would lose track of it so easily. It's better
and it's lame sauce.
It's better to just keep going, don't you think? All right. It's just like when we changed the name from Nowhere Mulberry to Entertainment Landfill, I wasn't about to go, okay, episode 1. No way, man.
Nope, not happening.
Yeah, we're going to keep going. Okay, our next voicemail is Paul Ty. Let's check it out. Oh, dear.
We leave it together. We'll silly farewell.
Jason, Stephen, Bill. This is Paul from Birmingham in England. Just wanted to drop you a quick voicemail just to congratulate you on reaching episode 300. That is quite an amazing achievement. Just wanted to say thank you for all the hours of entertainment you've provided over the years. I honestly can't even remember how long I've been listening to you guys, but I have gone back and re-listened to all the shows, all the, you know, the regular shows, the movie minis, the lunchtime shows, everything. You've got to admit, every show is a winner. Even the rubbish ones. I realize how putting a show together like this is time consuming. A friend of mine and I co-host a podcast called Movie Health Warning. We've spoken to you before about it. And it can take a long time just to do an hour-long show, put some clips in and whatever else. So you guys, what you do on a weekly basis is just amazing. I recently signed up to Patreon to support you guys. I'm happy to do so. Obviously, as I said, love the show. I'm hopefully going to go and see Guardians of the Galaxy tomorrow. My wife had our second child
probably 6 weeks ago today. So I haven't been out for the last 2 years. But I'm going to hopefully try and sneak out over this weekend and go and watch it. Super awesome. Excited about it. That's about it, really. Happy 300th. Hope you're all well. Hope you carry on. And, you know, I'll speak to you at 400. One more thing. Thanks for the music.
Oh, don't thank me for the music.
Is he like, who do we thank for that music?
Is he at a nightclub or something, seeing this live?
That's a great band.
Oh, you've got to hang up.
Listen to that solo.
This is my favorite part.
That's actually the most competent performance of the band. Oh, don't. Don't do that. No.
Okay, Paul, yes, hang up now. Okay, there we go. Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you for the music entertainment also. But that's very cool. No, baby, we're doing our 300th show. I'm sick of your shit with your ball, okay?
I don't want to be a part of it.
Enough with your ball. You're so neurotic. I tried to, like, play with her and tire her out before the show just so she wouldn't be like this. But instead, it, like, tired me out. I was just like, I'm done.
She's like, we're still playing.
She's looking up. You know what she did? She started doing something else weird, Bill.
Dogs don't look up.
Listen to this, Bill. She was sitting there watching me on the computer, and I was working on clips. And I looked down at her, and I realized she was looking at the cursor on the screen.
Oh.
The arrow for my mouse. And she stuck up her head, and she was kind of watching me do stuff. And she was just, like, looking back and forth. Because, you know, I'm swinging it all around the screen and stuff, doing stuff. And she was just, like, super into it.
It's that damn laser pointer.
Yeah. Oh, it did something to her brain. Okay, guys, we have another voicemail. This one from Darren. Let's check it out.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill. It's Darren from Birmingham in the UK. And this time, I'm sober. I want to pass my congratulations to you all for reaching episode 300.
Woo, woo.
Yeah, it's almost like you had the hot plates just then, wasn't it?
I thought let's it was
try
a cow.
That, let's try that again. Woo! Woo! Unfortunately, I think tonight won't be the night that I listen to your program live. I think actually a few weeks ago it may have looked like I was, but, I woke up, about 4 or 5 in the morning with headphones around my head and my phone still logged into the page. But I think I slept all the way through. But despite my lack of attention, you provide a great show and great entertainment, and I hope you keep doing it. Roll on 301. Have a good show and goodbye.
Thank you so much. I like Darren's version better.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Darren.
It's smoother.
Okay, we have another voicemail. This one, Adam Sexton. Hello, Adam. Let's check it out.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. This is Adam Sexton sending you another voicemail. I'm a little exhausted right now. I've spent the past hour and a half out in 95-degree weather prepping up a football field, a high school football field for a scrimmage game they're having later tonight, which should explain why I'm not going to be able to participate in the chat room for the live recording of tonight's episode, which sucks. Of course, I'd rather be in my apartment with the air conditioner on with something cool
tired,
to drink, something good to eat, and listen to you guys have a great little anniversary podcast. But, you know, certain things you just can't help. So sending you this voicemail and wishing you congratulations is probably the best or the least that I can do at this point. Congratulations for getting to the 300th episode, for being active for over 9 years. And I think all of your listeners hope that you're able to continue on for another 300 episodes or for another 9 years, whichever comes first.
this past summer, where I've been able to get in on most of the, episodes. I mean, it's been a treat. I'd be able to, finish up and work on time, and, I'd have to race home and, sit in on the live, recording, but, it's really, it's always a blast to listen to y'all, live, and I can't think of another podcast that I'm, that I ever do this for. Anyway, congrats on all your hard work. I hope you continue to get more, patrons, and that, our contributions continue to help you out month after month, and, that this leads to, other things down the road. I've recently made the jump to, a next gen system. I, bought a PS4 last week, and I've really been enjoying it.
Nice.
I think like the first retail game I bought for it was, this week when Diablo 3 Ultimate Evil Edition, came out, and it's really one of the best, action RPG games I've ever played. They did a great job of porting it over to the console, and it's a fantastic co-op experience. So seeing how, Jason, you, and, Bill both have Xbox Ones, I highly recommend picking a copy of that and, playing it together, because it's so much freaking fun.
We talked about it.
So I'll just end it right there, guys. I guess I'm just too exhausted to say anything else.
Oh, man. Ow.
But, thank you for your continued output, for your charm and your honesty and, your wits. And, clearly the compassion that you have, for each other, for your audience. And that's the reason why we keep, downloading your stuff. We keep listening to it. Why we keep sending you voicemails, because you've crafted a program that leads to a community where we can all be a part of it. And, I feel very fortunate to be a part of that. So thank you for continuing to be my favorite podcast. Thanks for inspiring me to start my own, which Passing the Pending podcast recently had its first full-on episode where I recorded one with a guest, and Bill, if he hasn't heard it, he'll be pleased to know that the episode runs to nearly 3 hours. I understand he likes long podcast with long running times. I don't know if I'll continue to do that, but we'll just see. It is available on the iTunes store. All you have to do is just put Past Pending and podcast on the search field, and that'll take you straight to it. But again, thanks for all the inspiration, thanks for all the laughs, and good luck on tonight's episode, guys. Thank you so much, and have a good evening. Bye.
Thank you so much, Adam, and get some rest there. Take a nap.
I actually have that most recent podcast of his on my phone. I haven't listened to it yet, but I know it's the Nolan Batman film episode.
Yeah, so, congratulations, Adam. Keep doing those podcasts. It's pretty awesome. And I'm going to check it out when I get a chance. And again, thank you so much for supporting the show and listening to us every week. Now, guys, we have another voicemail. We're rolling along here, aren't we? That was 6 voicemails, guys.
Kick them out.
Nice.
Wow.
Our next voicemail is from Hannah. Let's check it out.
Guys, it's Hannah. Just wanted to send a voicemail and say happy 300th episode. I haven't been listening. Well, I'm still trying to catch up on your older episodes at the moment, because as you know, I had a baby a few weeks ago, so she's keeping me very, very busy. But nevertheless, I will get round to it, and I certainly want to hear you guys keep on going. I think the patron scheme that you've started running is really great. And yeah, long live Entertainment Landfill. Lots of love to you all. Bye.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you.
Obviously, you have your priority straight. The baby comes first, and I can understand that. I'm not going
We're
to complain.
Not always baby appropriate.
I know that you will catch up to the shows eventually.
Although now, babies can take care of themselves immediately after birth, it's better you don't.
I'm going
to
go ahead and say maybe show pretty much baby friendly, wouldn't you say?
Mostly.
Yeah.
For the most part.
They'll love our talk of Master Chef and Hotel
Master
Hell.
Master Chef Junior.
And when we talk about The Strain here in a bit.
Babies love The Strain.
All right, we have another voicemail. This one from Steve Steinbach. Let's check it out. Love that dude's name, Steinbach. Let's check it out.
Hey, Entertainment Landfill. This is Steve Steinbach recording a happy 300th episode message out of Kearney, Missouri. Currently,
Kearney.
At the moment, in my truck, traveling the country. I've been traveling the country for the past year, listening to you guys a lot, following along with your television viewing habits. But man, I've been listening to you guys, well, since 2009 probably.
Nice.
I was trying to think back of when I started listening, and I think I remember you guys, one of the first episodes I heard, I was driving through Minnesota listening to you guys talking about that show, The Colony.
Oh my God.
I guess that's 2009-ish. Man, I never saw that show, but you had some good drops, I'll tell you that. From that show.
It's good times.
Another
really
iconic
good.
Show. I think the one that really got me hooked listening to you guys, other than your great Dark Tower book club, which I think really started me off on the Nowhere in Mulberry bandwagon. But you guys covered Spartacus.
Yes.
And I think, yeah, when I look back, I think that was maybe some of your finest stuff there. Not that you haven't done fine work since, but man, I believe it was all those Batiatis drops that came out of that show. God, how do you top that?
John Hanna's
that was
gold,
God. Man. And I have to request, just for old time's sake, maybe get Foggy to queue up some of those drops. Maybe a nice montage of body artist stuff for the big 300. Oh, man, I'd love it. But hey, listen, have a great show. I'm going to sign off, let you guys get on with your work. And, hey, have fun. Hopefully I'll chime in again at some point. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Signing off. Good night.
Cock in the ass from either direction.
No. Okay. Well, thank you, Steve. That's so cool. So he's driving right now while he was giving that voicemail, wasn't he? Pretty sweet.
See our fortunes rise along with your cock.
Yeah, okay. Let's keep it friendly, Batiatis, for the kids and everybody.
Well, I think Steve's a good driver. I think that he gets his underwear at Kmart, so he's got it in control.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Oh, never mind.
Please explain your joke, Bill.
Do I really? Rain Man, excellent driver, gets his underwear at Kmart.
Wow. I got the Rain Man, but I didn't understand why you went to Rain Man.
Well, because he's an excellent driver.
Okay, yes, he is a very excellent driver. Very good, no,
just
Bill.
Just edit that out.
No way. Come on, that was gold. Just because I didn't get it didn't mean everyone else didn't.
Well, I hope so. Hopefully I get some chuckles.
Oh, you know you will, Bill. Everybody laughed at that. Good times. All right, our next... this dog is so distracting. Oh, Trank Dart.
Crate time.
Crate.
All right, Bill, Steven, our next voicemail is from Mike. And I'll tell you which Mike it is as soon as you hear it. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. You'll figure out who it is as soon as you hear it. That's what I meant to say.
Jason,
Stephen, Bill.
I know that voice.
It's Mike here, and I'm just dropping you a line to wish you a happy 300th episode, and to thank you for your, what is it now, nine years of recording? I mean, that's incredible. I've been podcasting for
just over six years.
And it just seems crazy that you guys have been going even longer than that, because 6 years feels like a long time. I started listening to you guys, I think, around your episode 70, 71, thereabouts. I would go back and, I did go back and listen to all of the early episodes after that, but that was around the time that I jumped in. I heard about you guys from Hollywood Saloon, and the guys there, I think it was Andy, was talking about what great work you did, and he was absolutely right. It took me a couple of episodes to kind of get my head around what it was that you were doing, because I just assumed that you were a movie podcast when you were recommended by the Hollywood Saloon. So when I put the first episode on, and there was the 3 or 4 minutes of edited together clips, and I think that was around the time that you played the sort of the Quincy theme with lyrics and the Wilhelm scream, sound bites from Goonies, things like that. I was like, what the hell is this? I thought the whole show was going to be that. I didn't quite understand what I was listening to. And then as it progressed, and I realized that initially that I didn't know most of the shows that you guys were talking about. So I thought, oh, okay, well, this isn't going to be something that I'm going to continue listening to. But it was so infectious, and the energy and the enthusiasm, that it didn't really matter, you know. And I think that that's probably one of the biggest compliments that I can give your podcast or any podcast, is you don't have to be interested or even really understand what it is that you guys are talking about to enjoy it. And you frame it so well, and you explain so well what it is that you're talking about. As I say, I've enjoyed every episode of your show for the last, I've been listening for about 8 years now. I've missed you guys when you weren't there during some of the dry spells, worrying that you were going to pod fade. A few things I remember that specifically from your show that always spring to mind when I think about you guys is, I remember Jason's sister, I'm terrible with your names, and I always get your sisters mixed up, but I think it must have been Vanessa, because it was an early episode, getting pissed off about you guys riffing over the news. I don't know whether she was just having a bad day or whether she wasn't quite getting what it was that you guys were doing. And then I think you all sort of backed off and felt, you know, like a bunch of naughty, reprimanded schoolboys. And then she basically just read the news. And then I think the next episode, she kind of realized what the dynamic was. I remember being amused about the fact that you guys were amused about the fact that you were still watching Smallville. That was essentially your Smallville section each week, was just you guys riffing off the fact that it was just amazing that you were still actually watching this show. Your enthusiastic but often exasperated coverage of Spartacus, Blood and Sand, all of the drops, Robot Dave, the fact that sort of knowing you guys a little bit outside of the podcast, the fact that I'm still not sure about Foggy. I'm still not sure either way. Also, your exposing of the soundtracking tricks of the producers of food-based reality show. But mostly your genuine enthusiasm for your interests. You've said multiple times that doing the show is an escape from, you know, the sometimes mundane day to day of life, and so is listening to a show that comes across. And I would like to, you know, on behalf of listeners everywhere, of which there are many more than feedback, I'm sure, that we really appreciate that. And I just hope that you guys are still doing it. I love the fact that you've been doing a lot more shows recently, and I'm glad that your show is getting the support and the appreciation that it deserves. And hopefully that's enough to keep you guys going, until we're all old and watching 80s movies remastered for the holodeck or whatever the technology is then. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen, yes.
Yeah, and it's a happy birthday to Mike also. Today was his birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to Chinstroker there. Thank you so much. And that's so cool when people tell us how long they've been listening. It's just awesome. And, you know, there's highs and lows of the show. Sometimes I'm real enthusiastic and creative and all pumped up, and sometimes I'm less than enthusiastic and just trying to claw at inspiration, you know. But being able to talk to you, Stephen, and you, Bill, every week, that always encourages me. Just us have a good time talking about movies or TV shows or stuff, that always brings me back. And I love doing the show with you guys, so I just want to tell you that right there.
Okay? I love you too, man.
It's probably one of the fun part of my weeks.
And I've said it before, like, Stephen, I'd probably never see you if we didn't do the show. Because, you know, when you just go home and go to sleep on Fridays. You'd be tired, right?
No, if you said go to the movie, I'd go to the movie.
But, you know, I would be like, no, I don't want to go to the movie, you know?
No, it's my, that's, I'm out of town and that's the only time I get to see friends is on the weekend, you know, so.
I would see less of you is what I'm trying to say, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. No, you'd still come over. Steven, yeah. Why are you here?
I'm going.
No one invited you. Get out.
See you guys later.
I'm here to see the dog.
All right, guys, we have two more voicemails. Wow, this has been awesome. Our next voicemail is Todd from the ATL. Woo!
Jaystrom, Steven, and Bill. Hello, this is Todd from the ATL. Been a while since I sent a voicemail in. Really haven't had much to say, unfortunately, but it being episode 300, I had to tell you guys how much I appreciate all the effort and abundance of content you guys have been of entertainment that you guys have been giving me. Appreciate everything you guys do, and just hope we can go for another 100. Yeah, you never know. I remember a long time ago when I first started listening to you guys, it was coming up on 200. And my buddy Clayton got me listening to you guys, and they were saying or at least the rumor was you guys were going to stop at 200, but I don't know if that was actually true or not. Who knows? Anyway, I'm glad you guys made it all the way to 300, and I hope you guys have a great show tonight. Shout out to all our other patrons out there. Hope everybody is doing well, and we'll talk. Hopefully I get to talk to you guys sooner than I have last time. So take care.
Thank you, Todd. And it's so cool when somebody else got them to listen to the show, and they did. Like, I don't know where we'd be without Andy recommending us back then, because I know a lot of people listen to us because of that, and I always be indebted to him for doing that. That's awesome. And, you know, I know that we tease with every 100, like, we're going to quit eventually or whatever. maybe if I, you know, found some kind of life or something, I would. I don't know. But, no, seriously, I enjoy doing the show, and it's fun just finding shows to talk about and making material out of it, you know. Probably the one thing that's been hard to get myself to do again is when we did, like, the Cloverfield show or the zombie shows.
Oh, yeah.
Take extra preparation. I don't have that energy to do that anymore.
Those are difficult.
Yeah, like, I don't know. That was a different Jason. I don't know what was going on. Maybe I was more creative back then. I don't know. But maybe one day I'll find it, be able to do that again when we have some zombies on the show or something.
When
like
you
that.
Had a lot of free time.
Yeah, a lot of free time. Hey, why didn't that guy send a voicemail, Bill?
Him and the Joho got together and they hang us. Out now and hate on us.
You seem to have a lot of free time.
No! Okay, one final voicemail, guys. Rick! Rick from Australia! Let's check it out.
$300. That's pretty great, guys. I've just gotta congratulate you guys on just such an awesome podcast, and just thank you for being there over the years, and you know, it's just been such a great part of my life, knowing you guys and listening to you guys and just having this sense of community with a bunch of random strangers who turn out to be great people that you love and trust. So pretty much just all my love and affection to you guys. Thank you so much over the years of playing my voicemails and just, you know, listening to me talk shit to you guys and letting me hear you talk shit as well. It's been such a positive experience and, you know, something I'll never forget. So congratulations on the 9 years and 300 episodes, and just keep doing what you're doing. I'll keep this bad boy short and just congratulate you and just give you a virtual hug with a bit of a kiss on the cheek for everyone involved. That was three kisses for three of you. Have a great show, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
I had a few cocktails.
Thank you so much, Rick, for that.
I'm blushing.
Thank you guys so much. Steve Fraidnot, Rob Bickmore, Swiley, Paul Ty, Darren, Adam Sexton, Hannah, Steve Steinbach, Mike, Jen Stroker, Todd from the ATL, and Rick Lidster, and not to mention Ken Proventure. Thank you guys so much for making this episode 300 extra awesome. And I'm going to, Bill, we have some shows to talk about. So what I'm going to do, we're going to do a one-minute entertainment segment. Okay.
Okay.
It's going to last 1 minute. So you guys ready for that?
Let's do it.
Entertainment! Okay, we have 1 minute. Expendables 3. Bill, you saw it here at my house, but Heather and Steve and I saw it last weekend in XD.
Yeah, I really appreciated Sylvester Stallone coming to your house and showing it to us.
Yes, that was very cool of him.
Very good guy.
Here's the thing about the Expendables movies. They are forgettable while entertaining. There's certain parts you laugh at it, or you're entertained just by dudes getting shot a lot or whatever. It's
at least in the first two.
It's a big, dumb action movie. I would say in this one, too.
Yeah, but just, so much of it is like off screen or just tame. I had a real big problem with the PG-13 thing.
Yeah, there was not a lot of blood in the film.
No.
If any. In it.
I don't think there was any.
There was one moment of blood mist, it looked like. But
yeah.
I don't believe in the whole like PG-13 to get more audience there, because the younger 13-year-olds, they're not going to go see a bunch of old men go see it. And the whole idea in this Expendables is that Barney's characters, that's my Barney Rubble. He's like, I don't need the Expendables anymore. I'm going to get these young kids who I don't care about. But guess what? He learns to care about them. And then the old Expendables have to go rescue them. I'm sorry for spoiling it, everybody, but.
Oh my God. How dare you?
But the one, I thought it was cool that Mel Gibson was in it and he plays the bad guy.
And he plays a good bad guy. I mean,
he
I think he gets the best scene where he's on the, is it the helicopter or the plane with them?
He's on
and
a
he's
truck.
Just kind of reaming them out.
Yeah, and he's telling them he's basically telling them the reality of, like, working with the CIA, you think you're better than me, you're their errand boys and all this stuff. But, you know, it reminds you, hey, Mel Gibson can act. Yeah, he's crazier than a shithouse rat, but he can act, you know?
He's very good. In fact, he kind of makes everyone on that plane look really, really bad.
Well, except for Stallone, he holds his own with them. You know, that
he
was
does.
They're fine. The one thing I don't want to knock on the female characters, but
oh, she's on. So bad.
When you do a female tough chick,
right?
The first thing they show her is she's a bouncer in a club. And she does the instant cracking of the knuckles as she's walking. And then after she kicks a bunch of guys' asses, she goes, men. And then later on, she's fighting a dude and she shoots him and she goes, men. And I was like, what does that mean? I don't understand.
It means that they have a penis.
It means that they have nothing for her character to do. No kind of depth or character.
Yeah.
She's just a tough chick or whatever. But
well, also, most of those new characters had nothing to do.
Right, yeah. But also there's Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, comes out this weekend. And I would like to see it. And I read Drew McQueenie's review of it, Bill, and he wasn't enthusiastic.
Everyone.
He wasn't
I haven't read a good review of it yet.
Basically, you know, it's a real dark, very violent film. And so they're saying, like, it doesn't let up. If you're into that, you may dig it. But wow, you know, you want to just come up for air or something, you know?
A Dame to Kill For is a really, like, just nasty storyline anyways.
Right. I actually have the comics of that, and I thought of digging them out, but I have no idea where they are. But I know I've read the story, and I know what to expect from Sin City, so I think I would enjoy the film, because I enjoyed the comic.
If you were into the comic, then...
It's funny, because the way Drew McWeenie explains it, I kind of maybe agreed with him that when you first read it, whatever age I was, Sin City was awesome then.
Yeah.
But now you're older, you're more mature, maybe your tastes are a little different, maybe, and you're not. Like, this is the 20-year-old Jason really liked this, but I'm just kind of like getting bored right now, kind of a thing. So maybe I'll expect that to happen, but I expect it to look gorgeous in 3D and all that kind of stuff. So
hey, I will see Ava Green in 3D in anything she's in. Anything.
So if we all go see that, we'll talk about it on next week's show, 301.
I'll go see it tomorrow.
Sweet. All right. Well, that's our 1 minute segment. I think we went over, Stephen.
Maybe.
But anyway, let's check out what's on our TiVo. Whee! Woo-wee!
I forgot the timer for that section.
We needed a stopwatch, Bill. Okay.
We could have used our phones.
We're going to take a break in just a minute, Bill. But first, I want to talk about Big Brother. We didn't talk about it on our last episode. But Frankie, who is Ariana Grande's brother, has revealed to
the house. He is?
Yes, he is Ariana Grande's brother. He has revealed to the rest of the house guests that he is Ariana Grande's brother.
Oh.
And he chose the moment when they were all pissed off at him, when the guys, the bomb squad dudes, discovered he was like talking with the girls and like saying, yes, he was willing to put his guys up and get them out, you know, like you're going to do if they come to you, you know? And so they were all pissed off at him. So he was like, okay, I want to tell you guys the truth. I'm a media mogul and I have over 1 million followers on Facebook and Twitter, and I'm Ariana Grande's brother. And so this is their reaction to that, which I thought was kind of funny.
I think only one of them knew who Ariana Grande was.
Yeah. Even Derek goes like, Amanda Grande or something like that.
Grande?
Yeah. Let's check this out.
Talk some booze.
You lie to everyone, dude. You go behind all of our backs.
Oh, my God, it's Big Brother.
I'm just saying, I'm calling you out for
it. Fine, I'm going to admit to it. If you shut up, this is Big Brother.
I know, and I'm calling you a liar.
I know.
Okay, I'm glad that everyone knows that now.
I'm sorry.
Perfect.
So I've been lying to you the entire game. Since I walked into this house, I'm not who I said I was.
Oh my gosh.
I was on Broadway many years ago. I no longer am. I'm a YouTuber and a TV personality and a social media mogul. I walked into this house with 1.5 million followers.
Me too. Oh my God.
My sister is a mega, mega pop star.
Shut up.
This is a
lie.
What is my last name?
Grande Marcioni.
Grande.
Amanda.
Ariana Grande.
Grande's your sister.
Yes. She's my sister. Yeah.
Wow. Do you guys buy that?
I absolutely buy it. Yes. Ari? Is that Ari?
Ari, yeah. Ariana.
I thought Ari was a dude.
No, Ariana.
For what you know.
So we can go figure that out.
Go figure. You're a freaking pop star's brother. Man, if we were out of this house, I would have kicked you straight in your teeth.
Yeah.
If we was outside of this room.
Oh, yeah, Caleb.
Fine.
Because honestly, most of us are who we say we are.
We all are who we say we are. Honestly, I care about gaming.
Who let the snake in the room?
Exactly.
This is a Big Brother first.
Frankie exposing his background to the house.
I think
exposing.
He's basically throwing a line and hoping somebody grabs on. We're not millionaires, so just if you can tell the truth.
I'm not a millionaire. I am playing this game for a charity that I represent, and it's called Build On, and I'm using the money that I get from this show to build schools in Africa.
Are you even gay?
I'm very gay.
All right, honestly, the terms
you say it first. You're
faking
that,
Brandy,
too.
You've built a house of lies. You betrayed me. You hurt me. I don't even know what to think anymore. Who are you?
So now that I told the guys, the hard part is over. I really just want to go and have a good, fun time telling the girls, because I think they're going to think this is super exciting. And also, I haven't done anything wrong to any of them, so I'm not really apologizing.
Okay.
So, okay. I have been lying to all of you the entire game. I am not who I said I was. My name is Frankie J. Grande.
Nuh-uh. You're so full of it.
What's my sister's name?
Ariana?
Yeah.
And your sister?
Yeah. My sister is Ariana Grande. So, I have been,
Holy crap!
I've been lying the whole game, and it's really been bothering me.
Wait, so you're freaking famous.
I know.
Shoot!
I know.
I'm gonna kill you.
Oh my god.
Somebody kill her.
So yeah, I like it. You're famous. I know.
Oh, Victoria really. Is such a star effer.
Yeah. Well,
she doesn't know who Ariana Grande is. She's just like, oh, he's famous? Oh.
What happened since then is Nicole was evicted, and then they evicted Zach last night, which was funny because he knew he was going, and it was hilarious when Julie said, by a vote of, and he just got up and started getting his stuff. And
that was good.
He was just, he threw them something. I don't remember what it was, but he.
It looked like candy.
Like candy or something. And he got up and he just walked out. Like he wasn't going to wait for any of the procedure. But then they gave him an opportunity to go back in the house and Nicole won her way back in.
I saw that.
And then Cody won HOH and he's putting her and Donnie up again.
Of course he is because he's so predictable.
Yeah, that's all. It's just going to be those final people. You know, it's going to be Frankie, Derek, Cody, and they turned on Zach, so Christine is part of their alliance. So,
yeah, who I can't stand. There's just something about the way she carries herself, where she's just very arrogant and nasty to people.
Well, there's Bill.
Yes.
Also, I have to bring this up that, Kathy Griffin came in.
Oh my god!
Because Zingbot was on the fritz and he wasn't insulting them, he was giving them compliments. So she came in to. She was like, let me show you how it's done. And she insulted them. But listen how, at the very beginning of the clip, Frankie reacts to seeing Kathy Griffin in the house.
What's my last name?
Grande.
No, Griffin.
Griffin.
Mm-hmm. Kathy Griffin's my sister.
Oh my god!
Yeah, oh my god.
Oh my god.
I know, isn't it great?
Oh my, you're famous!
I am famous! I am a media mogul, and I have 160 Twitter followers.
Oh my god!
Oh my god. Okay, well, that's awesome. So let's check out...
I'm very proud of myself.
I love where he's like, are you even gay?
Too. Nope.
I'm straight as an arrow, guys. I thought if I played gay, it'd be a good strategy. But, all right, let's listen to how Frankie reacts to Kathy Griffin being in the house.
Kathy Griffin! Oh my god! I love her so much.
Yes, he's gay.
Zing, you're supposed to be zinging people.
Any doubts?
Let me show you how it's done.
Now I know it's going to be bad. This lady rips people to shreds.
Victoria! I would zing you, but I'm only supposed to zing people that are actually playing the game.
I know you did it!
What the heck? My zings didn't even make any sense. Obviously,
you got
I'm playing
served.
The game. I'm still here. I made it to top 8.
What do you call someone who's not afraid to cry, wears pink, and cuddles with men? You call them Zach.
What?
Because he wears that pink hat. Usually I can take whatever people dish out of me. But Kathy Griffin?
Remember he was Zanky and he was always cuddling with Frankie? They called him like Zach and Frankie Zanky. It was so funny, though, because he dishes out a lot and insults people in the house. When she said that joke to him, his face was dead. Like,
oh, yeah.
He didn't take it well at all. He didn't think it was funny or anything.
It's an asshole.
Ripping me to shreds is not something I prepared for in life.
Oh, my gosh, she's so good.
We have to reboot Zingbot. Frankie, that's a nice tan. But I'm surprised you get any sun at all, considering how much time you spend in your sister's shadow.
Took a long time to get there.
That was a trip. Cross country.
Ouch.
Daddy, your look is very Duck Dynasty. Too bad your social game is more like Suck Dynasty.
Maybe
Zingbot's trying to tell me something. I need to get out there and start mingling. Watch out, Hals. Here comes old Donny Boy.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. That Zingbot and Kathy, is it Griffith? Griffin?
Kathy Griffin.
Oh, okay. Well, I should know. That's my sister.
Yeah.
That was bad. That was really awful. Normally they're a little tighter.
Yeah. I don't know why they played that whole ruse of, okay, Zingbot is malfunctioning. We're going to have Kathy Griffin come in. It's like, oh, wow.
The Gilbert Gottfried thing was much better. Because at least he just flat out called them idiots.
Holy crap!
You know what that reaction is? I have no idea who she is, but I need to react accordingly.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Ah! Well, guys, why don't we take a break? When we come back, we'll talk about Hotel Hell, MasterChef, The Strain, and Defiance. And maybe Top Chef Duels, too.
Are you even gay?
Excuse me?
Are you even gay?
I'm very gay.
Oh, okay. Well, guys, we'll be right back. We're going to take a break. We'll see you right back here and stuff. I didn't really do that very well, did I? All right, guys, let's take a break, and we'll meet back here in 2 and 2. All right, let's do that.
Oh, my God!
Hey, come here. Put your nose right here. Now sniff. Smell anything? No? Nothing? Then you're getting the picture. It's new unscented Tide, and it doesn't smell like anything. But it'll handle this mess just as well as regular Tide. See? Great Tide Clean. And it doesn't leave a scent behind.
Now you get Tide Clean clothes and a choice for your nose. Regular scent or new unscented.
Remember, you smelled it here first.
Fresh, delicious Brock's chocolate-covered peanuts and peanut clusters, made with a lot of care, because Brock's selects only the finest peanuts, fresh roasts them, then dips them not once, but twice in Brock's own rich, real milk chocolate. No wonder they're America's number one choice.
Mm-hmm.
For fresh, delicious candy with every bite.
Nobody treats America like Brock's.
Impossible! Brushing with denture cream cleans better than soaking with my Efferdent?
Well, Efferdent tablets are good, but denture cream is much better.
Prove it.
Put half this stained denture material in your soak. Now brush half with denture cream denture toothpaste.
The denture cream side is much cleaner.
Denture cream gets stained denture film nearly twice as clean.
I'm sold. Denture cream gets dentures nearly twice as clean.
And for mouthwash fresh taste, try denture gel.
Like to try Total?
Thanks, but no thanks. I'm a Raisin Bran man.
Well, I hope you're hungry.
Ravenous. That means very hungry.
Good, because you'll have to eat 4 bowls of Raisin Bran to get the vitamin nutrition in 1 bowl of Total.
Eat 4 bowls? Man, who else?
Whole Wheat Total has 100% of a day's worth of 9 vitamins and iron. It takes 4 bowls of Raisin Bran to get that.
No one's that hungry.
You mean ravenous.
Huh?
Total. 1 bowl, 100%.
When arthritis pain says you can't, Encaprin's micrograins of medicine let you say,
I can.
New Encaprin, a better way to treat minor arthritis pain than plain or buffered aspirin. Because its aspirin micrograins deliver unsurpassed relief in a way that's safer for your stomach than even buffered aspirin. When arthritis says you can't, new Encaprin lets you say,
I can.
Encaprin micrograins are made to pass through your stomach without dissolving. They're safer than even buffered aspirin, and they provide hours of relief to arthritis pain wherever it hurts. When arthritis pain says you can't, new Encaprin lets you say,
I can.
Encaprin lets you say,
I can.
I can. I can.
Tomorrow morning, millions of babies will wake up happy and comfortable because now there's a whole new generation of diapers.
There's my girl, all smiles because United isn't wet.
Sure stays comfortable, new loves.
Introducing the diaper that stops leaking better than any other shaped diaper in America. In identical situations where the other diapers soak through, new Loves doesn't. Why? Because Loves are thicker, more absorbent than ever before. Besides, Loves have 2 rows of gathers instead of 1.
I think new Loves is turning our little girl into a morning person.
New Loves is more comfortable Loves.
This electronic timer will show how fast you can relieve sore throat pain.
My sore throat feels very red and hot.
Will you try Chloraseptic?
Sure.
Now watch the timer.
Well, that's nice. That works really good.
With doctor-recommended Chloraseptic, relief is just seconds away.
What she got and got a lot of, lots of hair from Prell. Lots of fullness, lots of thickness, lots of hair from Prell. Goodbye limp, goodbye flat, got lots of this and lots of that. Got lots of hair from Prell.
A little Prell leaves you looking like you got lots of rich, lots of thick, lots of full.
Thanks a lot, sir.
Get the hair that's got a lot of, get lots of hair from Prell.
Tonight on V, the visitors summon a master assassin.
I eat what I catch.
But will this appetite for vengeance bring Diana to the end of her rope tonight?
No matter what kind of day I've had, my family's got a right to a good meal.
We agree. That's why Kentucky Fried Chicken original recipe is made tender and juicy the Colonel's special way.
And that's not all.
Yep, you've got a right to fresh coleslaw and buttermilk biscuits made from scratch.
You've got a right to chicken done right.
And a right to a night out of the kitchen.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, we do chicken right.
Greedent's the one that took the stick out of gum.
Stick out of gum.
And puts the fresh in your bread.
Yeah,
Greedent's the one that took the stick out of gum.
Stick out of gum.
And puts the fresh in your bread.
Yeah, Greedent's the one.
Greedent gum not only won't stick to your dental work, it helps clean in between to freshen your bread while you chew.
Greedent's the one that took the stick out of gum.
Stick out of gum.
And puts the fresh in your bread.
Greedent's the one.
Freshen your breath with non-stick Greedent.
Jane Seymour in Le Jardin de Max Factor.
Le Jardin.
They say romance is back in style. I say it never went out. Le Jardin says it too. It says it subtly. It says it softly. Because if you want romance to come on strong, you have to come on soft.
Le Jardin de Max Factor, the incurably romantic fragrance.
Well, I went to a party, and what did I see?
Peanuts, peanuts, butter,
peanuts. All those fine people like a peanut tree.
Peter Pan, peanut butter.
Peter Pan tastes so peanutty because it's made from the best quality peanuts in the world.
Hey, peanut butter, anytime they can.
Sharks, big sharks, shooting from the hip sharks.
Night sharks,
bright sharks, move you through the night sharks.
There's an awful lot going on in video these days, and it's all going on at Shark.
Cheek sharks, sleek sharks, anything you see sharp.
Sharp video. From sharp minds come sharp products.
One glass of milk has enough calcium and vitamins to help the average person through an ordinary day.
But who has ordinary days?
Milk got more of what you need to help you through the day. Milk helps keep you going when things don't go your way.
Have an extra glass of milk. It gives you more of what you need to keep up with your day and everyone in it.
The dark places around your home, even those places with no electricity at all, Black & Decker creates the Lighting Series. For the workspaces where light doesn't reach. For those times you need to feel more secure. The Black & Decker Lighting Series light from a very reliable source.
What's wrong?
They left without breakfast.
breakfast again.
What are you serving?
Beans, what else?
How about fruit flavors?
Fruit? That's different.
Come follow my nose.
Got a nose big as Texas.
It's always nose.
Whoa, Kellogg's Fruit Loop cereal.
With natural orange, lemon, and cherry flavors and a full day supply of vitamin C. Part of this complete breakfast. Well?
Little birdie, I'm making Fruit Loops my brand.
Bright ideas and an Oreo cookie. It's a bright idea to dunk it, or to crunch it, or unscrew it, or to lick it, or to trick it. But no matter what you do, it's true. It's fun to munch a creamy, crunchy chocolate. Oreo goes great with imagination. Puts the yum in your creation.
Oreo and Oreo double stuffed cookies.
This is the Federal Express Air Cargo Playset.
Okay.
The van delivers packages to the airport. They're put in containers, loaded on trailers, and taken to the plane.
Wow.
The door is opened, and a real conveyor system inside the plane moves the containers into the cargo bay. Now Federal Express takes off again with cargo for Phoenix, New York, Miami. The Federal Express Air Cargo Playset comes with everything you see here from Play School.
Ronald McDonald and friends in the Hamburglar Touch.
Ronald Cheeseburgers!
That Hamburglar wishes everything he touches would turn to McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburger! Touch! Cheeseburger! Touch! Ronald McCheeseburger!
Don't touch Grimace!
Ah, boy! Touch my face!
It's a good time for the great taste.
You haven't touched your cheeseburger.
American blue cream cottage Gouda Edam provolone Romano Swiss. You have your entire cheddar family.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. That's a lot of cheeses. I don't think I could decide.
Well, I'll go for the Munster.
Mm-hmm. I love Hermann cheese.
Wow.
Dorn. All right, let's talk about Master Chef. And now this week on Master Chef, they were talking about the dream cut of chicken. Right? Gordon kept going on about that. And I'm going to say right now, I'm not a chicken breast dude. I'm not. I like the thigh. That's my favorite piece of chicken right there.
What about the oyster?
Yes, the oyster. I'm pretty sure. I've probably eaten it on accident and didn't know. but the thigh is the best meat. I like dark meat, yo. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Breast meat is usually dry, if not dry. You know, sometimes we make
it's
good,
overcooked.
But it's white meat. It's I don't like it.
It's boring.
And let's see what Cutta and Big Willie did with their chicken breast.
Oh, boy.
And Gordon's like, you had the best cuts.
Oh, my. What did you do?
Let's check it out.
Buddy.
Each team is only going to get to cook with one different part of this amazing chicken. One of the most popular
most
cuts anywhere. These
chicken.
Beautiful things. Chicken wings. I'd love to see a stuffed chicken wing. I do not want to see a boring fried chicken wing. Next, the legs. Down,
boring
push through,
wings.
And then just let the knife do the work. Beautiful drum, very forgiving, steeped, the most amazing flavor. And then the bit that everybody wants, the actual chicken breast. Probably one of the most recognized cuts, but let's be honest, one of the easiest to overcook. Which brings me to the final cut, very often overlooked.
Finally.
And it's called the chicken oyster. The oyster is that little gem of meat that's tucked away underneath the thigh. One of the most tender parts of the chicken, one of the most flavorsome, and it's a chef's dream.
Watching Chef Ramsay break down a chicken, he just like...
It's pretty amazing.
And then the chicken just magically fell into like eight parts.
He breathes really heavy.
Dream cut was the breast. They should have the best dish.
So here, you've got the chicken.
and I'll start making the raw. I can get the hollandaise going with the boiling. We'll get the asparagus.
What is he doing?
Oh, no.
Got the hollandaise ready.
Cutter, did you just say hollandaise with a broth?
No, hollandaise on the asparagus.
With a broth?
No.
No.
You got the rest. The dream cut. Okay, what's the dish?
It's a lemon pepper roasted chicken that we're going to make a butternut squash chicken and dumplings with.
Chicken and dumplings.
What happened to the asparagus?
What? I think of a chicken breast. I don't think of a dumpling. Whose idea was that?
The dumpling's my idea.
Dumplings?
And it's going to be in a chicken broth.
Taylor had all these ideas that just didn't make sense.
Rule number one, you don't put a breast in a broth.
Well, I just figured the lemon pepper chicken breast was too simple.
Really? So you don't put a breast that's beautiful in a broth?
There's only 20 minutes. We don't have time to make another dish. We're in some trouble. Like, a lot of trouble.
Okay, the unlikely duo of tonight. Let's go. Lauren Hardy. I mean, Cutter and Willie. Wow. First it was a broth, it was butternut squash dumplings, it was hollandaise, it was grilled asparagus. Where's the asparagus? Where's the hollandaise? Where's the broth? What the f*** happened?
Well, it's a combination of everything. We took 3 grilled asparagus and we had the chicken breast, laid it on top. We reduced the broth down to a light sauce with the root vegetables.
And what happened to the hollandaise?
It broke. It broke on me and I didn't
Thank God for that.
Cutter. How is Cutter still on
chicken
the
breast?
Show?
It's bland.
I have no idea.
It's got the butts on.
I thought I had cut enough of the butt off. I apologize.
I don't expect to see that kind of crap at this stage of the game.
What did you do with the chicken
Let's
butt?
Not forget, but you had the cut that everybody wanted. And then you give it the clumsy look with almost like the bottom of a stock pot, the butts of the asparagus. So I'm not impressed. Are you impressed?
No, chef.
Are you impressed?
I'm a little.
Did you work together?
Not as much as we should have.
Thank you. Good night.
Oh, wait, God. Where are you going? He took off. Well, Gordon, come back. Why?
I didn't think it was that bad.
Why did he? Aww.
Good night. I was shocked that Cutter actually survived.
Yeah, he did. He always survives.
Both of them.
Because they always do, you know, they did the, what do they call it? The pressure test.
The pressure test. Yeah.
And they always excel at something that's going to get them out. I did think it's funny, the one guy who got eliminated, they had to do the poached egg, and his poached egg was empty of yolk. That was,
yeah.
It was like, how the hell did that happen? Am I right?
I don't know where it went. It said goodnight, and it left.
All right, I want to talk about Hotel Hell, guys. First of all, the week before, there was an episode where the guy running the hotel, he was in a debilitating car wreck, and his wife took over, and she was trying to cook, but she couldn't do it. And Gordon just went in there, and he helped them change everything, didn't he?
Yeah, it was an amazing episode.
He got them a cook and some sous chefs, and then set up the whole patio area where they could have beer and, you know, she could grill meats and stuff.
And they were living in the handicap accessible room. And,
yeah. And
he got them an apartment for 6 months.
Because awesome. He's like, okay, well, good night. And he leaves. And then he comes up and goes, wait, I need to show you something. And we're like, okay. And then he shows them this apartment that's fully decked out. It's got furniture and everything. And you, what does he say? I've paid the rent until you guys are back on your feet, basically.
Yeah, that was really sweet. That was a great episode.
It really was. And then this week later, it's something completely different where it's a guy who again married an Asian woman who had these daughters that I don't know what he was thinking. Like, I'm going to buy them a business and they'll run it themselves, but they don't know how to do anything.
Right.
They're just like these spoiled girls.
They're brats. I wanted to slap them multiple times.
The one young one who kept making her faces, that Ugh. Was getting on my nerves. You know,
she's a little, both of them are a little full of themselves.
Right. But the best part is when Gordon arrives and he can't see in that walkway, right? So, let's check this part out.
I'm in the middle of Minnesota. Look at this place. It's like Holland. It is incredibly flat, windmills everywhere, but they're tulips.
Look at the size of that thing. The largest peace pipe in the world. This is it.
Wow.
This place is huge. It may be historic, but look at that thing. Okay. This is the entrance. Are you kidding me? This looks like the entrance to a prison, not a hotel. A prison with an ATM. My God. Hello? You are kidding me.
Hello? Please. Hello?
I can't believe it. It's so dark in here. Fucking dungeon. Hello? Sod this.
I was waiting for the cameraman to go,
yes.
Get
a light. Man, that is crazy. Right.
It's got a flashlight.
Maybe it's best I turn around and off home now. Hello?
What is with the sound?
I feel like a Goonie. Hey, you guys!
You still love my job?
Okay, so here he's talking to... He tries all the chef's food, and it's all, of course, refrigerated and frozen crap, right?
Yeah, to save money, of course, and there's no real talent there.
And the owners take no responsibility for it. He's like, the food is terrible. And they go, I know, that's why I never eat here. It's like, you run the place, you know? So here is the chef talking about why she doesn't like her job.
You know, I hate it.
I can see what's not working for you.
The owners.
I'm not going to tolerate disrespect. You know, we're not getting paid. We're not paying ourselves.
You can't, as owners, complain about not being paid. You own the place. They don't have ownership of this historic building. Their daddy's not paying for everything.
Can I tell you something, Gordon? Jen has called herself the best cook in town. She has told us...
Stop picking on her. You have turned every member of staff against you.
I used to be really chirpy and happy, and I can't even smile anymore.
It's not about you.
Yeah, I can't even motivate myself to do projects anymore.
Yeah, I'm so lost by everything is so, they're so self-absorbed.
I used to love doing crafts and stuff, but I don't do them anymore.
I can't make my mop doll anymore.
My favorite part is
I can't buy shoes.
The part coming up is where Gordon starts wandering through the hallways and he hears in the distance, and I love he's like, hello? And she's like, yeah! She like snaps out of her crying mode immediately. It's hilarious.
Just listen to both of you.
Kill me, kill me, kill me.
You're only as good as the team underneath you. Whether you're here 3 months a year or 3 hours a day, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Grow up. Oh, this is massive.
I want to volunteer. I want to help people. I want to just
Rena,
do good things.
Are you up here?
It's haunted. The hotel's haunted.
You okay?
Yeah. I'm okay.
But you look like you've been crying for the last hour.
I just didn't feel like being around people right now, I guess.
Rita, does she always run away when things get hot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's become very obvious is the lack of commitment.
I feel like we should have purchased a duplex or something like that.
It's a bit late to think that now.
I just can't seem to get up. We should have purchased and do what I have to do.
Are you capable of holding the reins here?
I want to start taking control, but I need room to grow. I need space for me to take charge.
You need to get a grip.
I love when they do the, like, meeting, you know, after 9 months of being owners, they decide to call a meeting, and all they do is fight. You know, their emotions are so pent up, the employees, they're sick of taking shit from them, that they just, you know, explode on them, and the general manager lady ups and quits right there. And then Gordon tries to explain to him here that... you know, this is the only person who cared about this place.
Yeah.
You just let him go. Let's listen to that real quick.
Listen, it's not funny. That girl dedicated her life to keeping you in a hotel. Have you ever employed one single member of staff?
Like, she even worked a day in her life.
How could you say that,
Jen? You don't know me at all.
You don't.
When you were here for 2 seconds, you know I've been running my ass off.
Oh my God! Do you remember when she goes, "I worked in fast food when I was like 16"? Okay.
You guys don't see me do these things. I do them, but you guys don't see it. You don't know the life behind all. You have no clue.
You don't know me. You don't know my pet name.
Psych. One of you step up. If you were my daughters, I'd kick you out. You can laugh all you want. I'm not your father. But what I do know is you don't deserve this. Thank you for the first meeting in 9 months.
I thought Gordon was going to be nice to me.
That was extraordinary. The only person who actually cared about this place, Mandy, the general manager, has gone. Those daughters are absolutely screwed.
Did you notice also the daughter, the older daughter is obviously spoiled rotten, you know, we know that. But it's obvious that they've let her have facial work done.
Yes, yeah.
Like they've let her do whatever she wants. Like there was that story that she went on vacation and was gone for 6 months or something.
Yeah, she just disappeared.
But Gordon was like, tell the truth. Do you want to stay here or do you want to leave? Do you want to go back home? She's like, I want to go home so bad. You know, she just like explodes here.
Thank you. Thank you for saying it because I never could.
Why? Yeah. Why not? Why? You can ask them for everything else. Why couldn't you tell your dad no?
And I think this was a mistake. Maybe you should get someone else.
Yeah, why didn't the... I don't understand. The dad, Gordon didn't call him out. Like, what are you doing? You know? And another thing is that when finally the sisters are going to leave and they've decided, he's talked to them, hire the general manager back, let her run everything, you can go home. And they're like, oh, wow. So he fixes up everything, changes the room. By the way, that Kelly Green, hasn't he changed every room that Kelly Green so far? Like in every hotel?
Yeah, it must be the trendy color.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not really sure. And there's no TVs in the room either. Come on.
Yeah, I'm not big on that. Maybe it's fancy. Maybe it's on the ceiling.
And that room was weird.
We'd be screwed. We couldn't watch our
What was
stars.
With the bathtub right in front of the bed? Wasn't that weird?
That is... I was in one hotel like that. I think it was a Hampton Inn where they had a big...
Was there a toilet in there?
No, you just go in the tub.
Oh, nice.
I was in one that had a big jacuzzi tub in the room with you.
Yeah, it's right where I was, it was right next to the bed, and I was just like, so maybe I can just fall into it?
So he fixes the place up, and all of a sudden the girls are like, oh, wow, this is great. And they're like, are talking to customers and stuff, and he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, all of a sudden they're interested.
I just thought we should help. No, go pack your stuff. You're leaving.
Get the F out of here.
And don't you love how he gives them goldfish as they leave? Here, take care of these. It's the first step. First, you have a goldfish, then you get a cat, then a dog. And
hopefully never children.
Then they give you a checkbook to let you buy things.
First thing I asked you, Bill, is did the fish survive the trip home?
No.
First of all, I was like, why are you giving this to them? They're going home on an airplane.
Yes, they're going to kill those fish. You know, they get out of camera range and they throw them out the window.
Right back to the pitch.
They arrive at the airport, throw it in the trash as they enter.
Bye, fish.
It's got liquid in it. We can't take it anymore.
All right, guys. Top Chef duels. Did you get to watch this, Bill? Isabella. Now, do you remember Mike Isabella? We never liked him on Top Chef. And that season where it was all stars of him and Richard Blaze. Do you remember he stole Richard Blaze's recipe?
He did.
Oh my God. It was for the chicken oyster. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It was for the chicken oyster, on an oyster shell. And Richard Blaze had that in his book of recipes, of ideas. And Mike Isabella was looking at it and he goes, oh, that's pretty cool. And then they did this challenge with Paula Deen. And Mike Isabella goes, well, I have this here chicken oyster served on an oyster shell. She goes, well, that's so clever. And Richard Blaze is like, holy shit, he took that idea from me. And
so
then
and
we were like, God, that guy's an asshole. Well, then at the finale, you know, they get them all together and they go, what do you think about that now, Richard? And he goes, hey, you know, you can't own a recipe. He, you know, everyone has recipes and He pulled it off, so I can't be mad at him. I was like, whatever.
Yeah, you know he was seething. Richard Blaze is such a baby.
So then on Top Chef Duels, the whole thing is you're two chefs. It was Mike Isabella and Antonia. And they made a big thing about how they found out they were cousins on that last season or whatever. Big deal. But here's the thing. Mike Isabella is such a pussy. Now, listen to this. Antonia comes up with this rice ball thing. Like, the first challenge, make the best rice ball you can. And Mike Isabella's challenge is, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut down. We're going to do a race to see who can cut down a fish, these crawfish, these clams, and all this. And whatever you get done, the time you have left, you have to cook the protein that the other person picks. And it's just like, what? But then he says, I know I can beat her at that. So then he gets to pick what she cooks, right? And he picks a mackerel. You have to cook a mackerel. And she said she hates mackerel.
Yeah, but she was dumb enough to actually admit something, one of her faults.
Right. But the thing is, I think that it's totally wimpy of him not just to go head-to-head with her on a dish. Instead, he had to do this elaborate ruse and then pick a fish that he didn't even have to cook himself. She had to cook it, and he made, like, I forget what he made, like crawfish or something.
It was something forgettable because I think she ended up winning it, right?
No,
did she win that one? No.
She won the rice ball round. He won the second round. And then they did the duel.
But she got nothing but compliments for the mackerel.
Mm-hmm. And let's listen to this here. And just the way Mike Isabella is always laughing at himself. He's so obnoxious. And
he's obnoxious. And you know what? He's covering like major self-esteem issues with arrogance.
Insecurities and stuff. And he tries to act like he's arrogant, but he just comes off to me. He's like trying too hard. And they do this thing in Top Chef Duels where so far there's been three episodes. They talk smack to each other, but it gets tiring, their stupid smack talk.
Yeah, they need to just get to the food.
Right. And next week they're going to have Stefan, and he's the king of smack talk. So I'm just waiting for that. We know we're going to get way more of it for that.
It looks like they bring someone in that gets really under his skin.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, let's check this out.
Mike, Antonia, welcome to Top Chef Duels.
You all know recurring judge Gail Simmons.
It's great to see you guys again.
And joining us is our guest judge, Chef Michael Chiarello.
Hey, guys.
When was the last time you saw each other? 2 nights ago.
Yeah, I had dinner at a restaurant.
You went and had dinner at a restaurant?
Yeah. I wanted to see what she's working on.
So I can steal it.
Let him in.
But we're family.
Yeah, we all know about sibling rivalry. Me and my brother were at each other's throat. What's it like as two cousins?
I think it's pretty much pretty similar.
Similar.
We're all very competitive and we want to win. We want to pull each other's hair out and beat each other up. But at the end of the day, we're going to, you know, hug each other and shake hands.
Listen to what he talks all nervous.
What sick little plan have you come up with to beat Antonia?
What do you think, Bill?
So scared.
So our challenge today is a two-part challenge. One, a speed challenge, butchering and cleaning six clams, six oysters, six prawns, one bronzino, and one mackerel. Whoever finishes first gets to pick their featured protein and also gets to pick the opponent's featured protein to cook a dish with.
Hey, mackerel!
Mackerel!
What the hell, dude?
Wow. Complicated.
Here's the killer part. We only get 30 minutes to do it all.
Ridiculous.
You've got 30 minutes to butcher all of that fish and shellfish. I'm going to be here to make sure that you do it properly. Once it's done, the person that wins the race gets to pick the protein for both of you. And then you have to make a dish. It's $10,000 up for grabs. Good luck.
I'm a better butcher than her. I don't think she's shooking clams in the kitchen on a daily basis. To tell you the truth, I have not been practicing. I just know I'm better.
Yeah, so why not do something I know she's weak at?
This is like the most ridiculous thing I've ever done in my entire life.
So you got the liquid nitrogen there, Mike?
Yeah, I got a little liquid nitrogen, kind of chill them, put them in shock, and then open them up.
Mikey?
Yes?
I'm going to throw you down a flight of stairs.
He created this challenge to, like, throw me off my game, but Mike isn't even opening the clams. He threw liquid nitrogen on them. How is there skill in that? I need to finish first so that I can use the protein that I want. The spa prawns, they're just delicious.
These are some big oysters. These guys are strong.
and give Mike the protein that he doesn't want.
So he's down to his clams?
Yep, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I'm done.
Mike is finished.
I'm banged out everything in 10 minutes. I rocked that.
You have 20 minutes remaining in this challenge.
Hey, Antonia.
Yeah?
Your protein's mackerel.
The only fish that I don't want to work with is mackerel. It's such a delicate fish, and mackerel? It can overcook so quickly.
I love you.
I specifically just said to him, I hate making mackerel. And he's like, don't worry, I won't give it to you.
Why? This is a competition. If you tell me you don't like something, I'm going to give it to you.
I can't wait to do mackerel.
He's such a douche nozzle. I've never liked him from the first season he was on. But then his whole thing is, remember he was like chumming with the Voltaggio brothers? Like he was like, you guys and me, we're all the most creative guys here in the season. And of course, you know, he was eliminated and they went on to face each other at the end. But his whole thing is like, I do twists on things. Antonia, she just makes traditional Italian food boring, you know, and then
delicious.
He did this crazy like dessert. That, I forget what it was, but they said it didn't set perfectly.
Yeah, it was a panna cotta that didn't set. It was too soft.
Right. And
it just looked like a blob on the bowl.
And Antonia did this delicious dessert that was traditional, but it was made perfectly. So she won it. I'm so glad that we don't see him again, you know.
Oh, we might, you know, if he pulls his head out of his ass and actually wins, what do they call that? The Last Chance Kitchen or whatever the hell it
is. It's like a spin on that. I'm enjoying the show, but yeah, the whole, like, smack talking back and forth is, it's not entertaining to me at all.
No, it's not. It's one of those things that I would watch if it was on, but I honestly wouldn't tag it.
It makes it worse that it was a guy that I can't stand, I think. You know? Like next week it'll be fun, Stefan, because his whole thing is he tries to get under your skin by talking shit to you, and people try to, just to roll along with it and ignore him, but eventually he says something that annoys them.
Something hits. He throws it out there, and then something hits.
He's like, oh, you're afraid of me. Okay. And he goes, no, I'm not afraid of you. Oh, yeah, I gotcha. And then he starts chipping away. So that'll be fun to watch next week. Now, guys, I want to talk about The Strain, huh? First, last week's episode, I won't even talk about what happened. Bill had to get me this week's episode, so thankfully I got to see it today, Bill.
Thank you. Yes, good.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, last week's episode, there was a great scene between Ephraim, and Abraham. Well, the funniest thing is, remember, Abraham showed up just in time to kill the little girl and the dad who had changed, and now they're upstairs in the kitchen and he's making breakfast.
Yeah.
In their house after he's killed them. I thought that was hilarious that he's talking about this gruesome stuff while, you know, making some eggs and toast. So let's check this out.
Hey, they're not going to need it.
Yeah, they don't need it anymore. Let's check this out.
We should call someone.
Who do you suggest? The police?
I just got out of jail and have no wish to return to it. If you'd like to spend the next few vital days in custody to appease your guilt, be my guest. This scourge we're now witnessing has existed for millennia. It is a corruption of both flesh and spirit. It ravages what is human in its victims, instills a raging thirst. That is his goal, to destroy humanity.
His goal? Who's he?
The Master.
The Master. Is that a proper name?
I suppose you might call him Patient Zero. He spreads his virus through the parasites in his blood.
It is
driven by his horrible will.
Do you know why there are different rates of infection between the dead passengers and the survivors?
Some people get the flu and have a sniffle. Some die.
Well, this Master, why would he let four passengers live?
Media focuses on the miraculous survival of the four, as opposed to the deaths of 200, allowing the dead time to change, return home, and spread the disease. The Master excels at manipulation and disinformation, which is why they created a scapegoat, the unfortunate Regis CEO.
So it's a disease, but it has an intelligence.
What I can say is that this was all planned, not just the events on the plane, but the fallout surrounding it.
Okay.
Who is he?
An ancient creature who feeds on the blood of his victims.
Like a vampire.
I use the term Strigoi.
Which is what, vampire and...
Romanian.
Oh.
Now, take away the cape, the fangs, the accent. He's a predator, a leech, a blemish. And I know it's hard to believe, but even I didn't at first.
How do you know all this?
When I was a little boy, my grandmother and I... But by mayors, they told me fairy stories about the Strigoi, about the master. I thought they were only stories until I saw the devil with my own eyes. Here, the nail gun. Modified it years ago. Loaded with silver nails.
Sweet.
Silver affects them. It can even kill them. For my purposes, it weakens them enough to allow me to get close enough for a final blow. You think you're taking a risk in trusting the word of a stranger, but I'm taking the greater risk in trusting you. What we're dealing with here is the fate of the human race, so I don't expect you to believe that yet. You believe you're drafting me into your cause, but truth is, I'm drafting you into mine. Just to be clear, if in your attempt to film Mr. Barber he infects you, I will not hesitate to release you.
Duly noted.
I like that. Yeah. Duly noted. You know, I love Abraham's character. And I love how fearless he is, too. Like, when he goes down in that basement that's full of a family, but then he starts having heart problems, it was like, oh, shit. Like, he's trying to get his pills open.
It's funny how well... I mean, we really don't even know too terribly much about the character. I mean, we do know the...
They tease this...
The concentration camp stuff. And
yeah,
that,
they tease that little flashback, and I wanted more.
Yeah, but it's just... The amount that, like, you actually care what happens to him. It's very...
Right.
I'm fighting every week that I watch the episode not to grab the book.
Yeah, because like I know the show is very slow paced, because I have a feeling they just try to put a part of the book in the first season. I don't know. Maybe sure. The first season is the first book. I don't know. But it goes very slow, this whole taking over. More happened this week where it's moving along. But for instance, like when Abraham tells him, like, maybe we'll gain an army. Like, every house we go to, we'll recruit more people.
One more person.
There's that part when he leaves the house. Like, he's like, screw this, and he just turns the gas on and sets a candle.
Yeah.
And you hear in passing later on, the exterminator guy, that bomb, that house that went up, that blew up on a suburban street or whatever, like, he mentions it. But when he's in the car with the taxi driver, and he goes, yeah, it's a load of crazies. Everything's gone to hell. And he goes, would you like to help me with it? He's like,
yeah.
He's like trying to, he realizes, like, holy shit, I can't do this anymore. I'm too old, you know? But, like last week's scene, what I love was when F is like, I need, footage. So I'm going to film the next guy that we go to kill. And they go to that crazy lady's house and she's hanged herself. And the guy's, you know, in the shed. And he's shooting him with the nails and everything, and he's filming it. I thought that was hilarious that he goes to immediately rewatch the video. He's like, oh, yeah, this is good stuff.
Yeah, this is good. They'll totally believe this. How can they not?
And then, of course, everyone's been bought out, I guess, at that place where they're covering it up, and they're blaming F for everything. And that whole – oh, man, it drove me nuts how – I know we're supposed to care about F's family and his wife and son.
I hate them.
But when she, like, just ignored when he said, you need to leave town now, and she's – later on, she's drinking wine with her friend. It's like, you stupid bitch! Why didn't you leave?
That, like, and, well, that's that friend is another character where it's just like, ugh.
I'm waiting for her to die, and she's just like,
I'm looking forward to having her blood sucked out by a snake,
like,
thing.
Oh, your husband, he was just being dramatic. He doesn't like your new boyfriend. Just ignore him. It's like, no, god damn it! You know.
I'm from Queens. Queens girls don't leave.
Yeah. So, I'm just waiting for his wife to die. But there's... I love the setup of the exterminator. We've got little glimpses of him like wondering how is he going to play into the bigger picture. But when he goes down finally in the sewers, because he's figured out something has
driving the rats out,
so I'm going to go check it out. When he goes down there and he sees a shitload of stragoi, I guess they call them, which is delicious if you go to an Italian restaurant, Bill.
Mm. Especially smothered in sour cream.
Oh, yeah, stragoi. What? Mm. Garlic sauce.
It sounds like stroganoff to me.
Yeah, beef stragoi. Mmm, thank goodness for chef. But the place is riddled with them, and he's like, holy shit! He runs out of there, and he sees immediately they go into the sun and they burn. So I love when he shows up to the office, I guess. I was like, what the hell? How are they dead in there? Do you think, like, the boss went on a job, got bit, yeah, came back to work, yeah, transformed, and killed her? Well,
that poor girl. She was so hot.
I know. And he, like, I knew it was going to happen when, after he kills the main guy, he opens the shade, and he melts in front of us. Finally, we get to see someone die from the sun. And then he sees her, and he just goes, opens the shade, and she's like, it's like, holy shit! But that, just the little scenes where you're waiting for people to get killed, like the rocker dude.
Yeah.
She calls the doctor. The doctor goes up there, gets killed, and she calls a guy to clean it up, and he goes up there, and he's going to get rid of the body. He's like, hey, buddy, not too close.
Just this that is an excellent idea.
Yeah. But I'm enjoying the show a lot. And you, what was with that creepiness with the Nazi dude? He has that guy on a chain.
Oh.
What was that about?
Well, he needs to live off of something, so I guess maybe that guy's blood tastes really good.
Does he chain him up like pets
taste
or something?
The fear in his blood.
Because you know that, I love, he also walks in and he hasn't got a nose, and the guy's like, oh my god, no!
Where's your nose?
Dude, what the hell? And, I've been wondering what's going on with the Hispanic gentleman and his friend. And he, what is his name? Eichhorst or something? The Nazi guy.
I don't know.
But that scene where, you know, they go and he's like, dude, bring your gat. You know, we're going to tell this guy what's up. And, you know, they see that he's like super strong and he's punching him in the stomach and nothing's happening. But later on when they go to dump the body with, Samwise,
that made me question, like, why are they dumping the body in water? Isn't that gonna, like, transmit
I think all the worms dissipated by then.
Oh, okay.
That was the one that Ephraim dissected.
Because it was out in the sun.
They were getting rid of it. Yeah.
I don't know the half-life.
Yeah. But I love the guys are walking home in an alley and then they encounter one and it's the guy who died in the very first episode or whatever.
Earlier. The medical examiner.
Yeah, the medical examiner. And he's all funky. Oh, by the way, like, the FBI guys were so annoying when they were Ephraim.
Why do they always have to write characters like that?
Yeah, he's like, no, you gotta understand, this is an epidemic. And he's like, yeah, sure, buddy, whatever. And it's like, assholes! And then he's like, this lady's getting attacked, and he goes, I gotta do something. And he goes, it's not our problem! He's like, no, I gotta do something. And they both, you know, get bit. And I love Ephraim's, like, uncuffing himself, and the guy's like, help me! And he goes, I warned you.
Yeah, I mean, I love that line, that delivery.
It's like, I tried to tell you, you jackass. And that's another thing, the eclipse, it came and went. Is it going to keep happening, the eclipses? Like,
no, I think the eclipse was just the catalyst. It has something to do with the, like the astrology, maybe, like everything aligning, and
it helped it spread more at that moment when they were out on the street. That was the creepiest part, is when Mia Maestro was with her mom at the old folks home and there's one there like biting dudes.
Yeah.
And it was just like, holy shit, it spread this far. And you kind of have to wonder, like, he's telling his wife to go to Vermont. How quickly would it spread to Vermont, you know, without anyone doing anything about it? Because, you know, when you see the FBI guys, they didn't know what to do. They shot at it and just kind of stood there like, huh? And then they got bit. If somebody was in a... Oh, that's the funniest part. This is the part where I laughed out loud, is when the wife's... The ex-wife's boyfriend, he's at work. And the guy's like, oh, something... Oh, and he's bleeding. He goes, what happened? He goes, someone back there. And he goes, hey, did you bite him? Or something.
Yeah.
And you see the two creatures looking at him, and he starts walking down there. He's like going to kick their ass. And I was like, that's the last we'll be seeing of that guy.
He's dead.
Sorry about that. I thought it was funny. He's like, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind.
I'm a badass, and I just got yelled at by my girlfriend.
That was hilarious. But I'm enjoying the show. It's a lot of fun.
It is fun.
It's like I told you, Bill, that people keep going in places they shouldn't go. Like when the exterminator guys, he's like, I'm going to go down in the sewer. And then later on when he gets to work and nobody's there, and then he hears ching behind a door, he opens the door and flicks the light switch and it won't go on. But he's like, I'm going to go in anyway. And I'm like, what are you doing?
That's perfectly safe.
It's the same.
You just got to check the breaker box.
Yeah, it's no big deal. And I thought, I was so disappointed, Bill, I thought the UV lights would burn them or something, but they never played with that, did they?
No.
But I did notice in Abraham's shop, he did have more swords on the wall. So.
And lots of silver.
Yeah, he had lots of silver. So hopefully they're all decked out with weapons in the next episode.
That's when he was buying all the silver jewelry and tossing it into that one box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been doing it for years. And he needs somebody to take over because he doesn't have long to live. I'm guessing, you know, because of his heart problems. He just doesn't have the strength to go down into a basement and fight like five or six of them anymore.
I thought it was funny. In that part, he goes down thinking maybe one or two, and then it turns into a whole hive.
And he's just like, shit. And he's got to get out of there. I like
Here's
when
my
he
pills.
Shuts...
Oh, I got to drop them first.
When he shuts the door, he's like, yeah. Just like, wow.
Damn palpitations.
And I like the way it ends is Ephraim shows up at a shop and the girl and her mom are there too.
But the mom doesn't know where she is.
So we just need to get the exterminator on their side too, right? Yeah. He seems like a big hulking dude. He'd be good in a fight. But I noticed I thought it sucked when the Hispanic dude and his friend, he got a worm in his hand and he was trying to take it out when the cops came and tackled him.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, now you show up. So it's a fun show.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
I yell at the screen a lot in the show. What are you doing?
I have the same criticism to it, but it's got that old kind of horror movie vibe to it.
Yeah, there's no way anyone would know there is danger in the room.
Yeah.
Like, I just happen to know there's some effed up vampire type things in there. They don't know that, though.
No, they don't. We have to think of it like that's not our world. That's their world.
But, man, there's been a lot of fun scenes, though.
And, very fun show.
All right, let's talk about Defiance, which has been a lot of fun also, I think. We've had the stuff with Arissa completely explained to us now. By Nolan when he's talking to Tommy. And I thought it was a pretty good exposition scene where he pretty much spells it all out. And pretty much, if you think about it, this has all been set up in season one till now.
Yeah.
So we've got a clear picture of everything that's going on. So let's check this out real quick. And then we'll talk about the rest of what's going on.
At least you're bleeding now like a normal person. Why do you think your body rejected that thing?
Maybe Erzu's gift doesn't work on humans.
It's not Erzu.
Whatever you want to call it. The god that's pulling Orissa's strings.
It's not a god. Those tendrils are sections of Arcbrain. Billions of tiny robots working together to control their host.
So it's possessed by what? Machine?
Kaziri. It's an ancient spaceship buried under old St. Louis. An artificial intelligence pretending to be a god.
It's pretty convincing.
You know it wants to destroy the world, right?
Erzu wants to terraform the planet and start fresh with its chosen few. Vulaishe, they say. Paradise.
The Votan Rapture.
The Rapture?
Old Earth Bible thing. The righteous are swept up and saved before God obliterates the wicked and destroys the world.
Holy shit.
Exactly. Positronic charges.
Sweet.
They scramble arc brains. These things should knock those doomsday cultists on their asses long enough for us to get Arissa clear. You can't have an apocalypse without your key horsemen.
We're not killing him.
If you let him go, he'll be back. He's too dangerous.
I said no.
You're putting everything at risk.
Oh, looks like you're stuck, Sukar.
I love
the boss wants me alive.
Don't push your luck.
Oh, he's afraid, kiddo. I can smell it on him. Sukar knows I always win in the end.
You make him stop what I
do. Hey, did you tell your cultist buddies about the time I stole that Arc Tech out from under your nose? Made you and your crew look like monkeys? Probably too embarrassing. How did that stab wound heal up?
Dashinka.
He's trying to get under your skin.
It's working.
But what about the time I kicked your ass, shot you full of holes, and then threw you out of the Gateway Arch? Do you remember that? The look on your face. It was priceless. Dashinka!
Sukar didn't think that was funny.
Sorry, Sukar. Sorry, the stink from your beard. It caught me by surprise. So you want to punch me or what?
Hurt him. Don't kill him.
Ilakume shehekuhe.
You should write children's books.
You know what's funny is Defiance does so many things well. I love like I love the jargon, and I love their sets and everything. And they pull up everything so well where I enjoy it. It has a lot of character, right? And then they do the scene with, I forgive it for when their effects, when they try to do a lot of CGI and stuff. It doesn't look great, but I forgive the show because they do so many other things well. You know what I mean? Like when they showed like her lifting the Terra Sphere and then all the things glowing, I was like, what the hell is going on? What is this telling me right here? But at the same time, I'm like, I forgive the show because it does so many other things fantastic.
Yeah, it's escapist fun, you know. They create a world that's vibrant and believable enough that we can forgive it for its little failures, if
like,
you will.
Like, its little budgetness of that, the effects. But, like, every scene with Daytac and Stama is just gold.
Yeah, those two play off each other wonderfully.
I know, I love it. And, I just all the scenes between them, but the whole mystery this week of like who killed the girl and the arch.
I thought it was so funny that after I watched the episode 10, I sent you a message like, I'm getting really tired of the Fatal Attraction Psycho DJ. And then the second episode started and I wrote, never mind.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. Yeah, that was great. It was a great shot too of like, ah! And I like the reveal too. That scene where Stama figures Daytac did it. Daytac figures Stama did it. And then when they're talking, he's like, she's like, why did you put that microphone under the bed? He goes, what microphone? What did? He's like, I assumed you killed her. And she's like, no, I assumed you did. And then she realizes that her daughter-in-law did it. And she's like, oh.
She's becoming full casty.
It's like, oh, that's so adorable. She killed her, you know? It's just hilarious. The things I did think was funny is they barely had any scenes at all with Amanda and that girl. But now in flashback, she remembers talking to her all the time.
Yeah, all of a sudden she's so fond of her.
And it's her best friend. I was like, when did this shit happen?
She was my favorite little whore.
That stuff cracked me up. And, you know, in fact, you know, she's like, he doesn't want to have anything to do with me. And Amanda goes, don't take no for an answer. And I'm like, oh, you're the one who gave her the shitty advice.
You killed her.
You sent her off on her crazy trip.
She wanted to boil that bunny.
But I love the humor and stuff of the show. When they go to Tar Tracks, she's like, what, no REM?
I just don't appreciate the classics.
Yeah. This show is fun. And I next week is a two-hour finale.
Wow.
Two episodes back-to-back.
What has Sci-Fi got going on that they got to burn off two episodes in a week and then go to the finale?
I don't know. I mean... Jesus,
maybe
dog,
they're doing Stan Lee's Kamikaze again.
I mean, I'm going to be bummed when the show's gone for another year. Because I'm digging it.
I guess we just have to play it.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the show. And I want to see more about that virus. Did you see the commercial, Bill? What did he call it? The something virus that's in all the people like Arisa.
Oh, yeah, the arc brain virus thing.
Yeah, it's loose in the Defiance game, and they show all the creatures like going, So basically this thing wants to terraform Earth and finish the job it was sent there to do.
Right. It's Skynet.
Right, and do you remember in the first season, an arc fell and stabbed Sukar, and he died, but he came back operated by the nanites, healed his body and everything.
Yeah.
So it's like this, these ships are all operated by nanobots or whatever. Kind of like
nanobot, hive mind craziness.
Red dwarf.
Yeah. So
oh my
when
God.
They crash to Earth, you got to really worry about that technology getting loose and stuff. And I was bummed for Tommy. He had a moment. And he's like, Tommy, you're not so bad. And he's like, yeah, we're all great. And then he gets stabbed. It's like hilarious. It's like,
drag your corpse back to Defiance.
It's like, oh! And then there's all this stuff with Rafe. He's now been framed for murder by his son.
And yeah, that kid's back. Great.
Yeah, and I guess they set up, he was the kid in the mask who had Amanda's sister and all that.
Yeah.
So what's that all about? I want to eventually see the Votanus Collective, don't you? It's like, what I assume is a group of alien terrorists, right? Who don't like this truce between humans, and they want to take over Earth eventually.
Right. Yeah, they're the ones that control the Volge, right?
I think so, or the Volge by themselves. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still a little confused about the whole thing, but
and then
I like it.
The E-Rep, they're supposed to maintain peace, but really it seems like the higher-ups they want to eventually get rid of all the alien menace too, right?
Yeah, they just want to clear them out. They should have never came here.
Yeah, so we're eventually going to see something happen there. I don't know what could happen in the final two episodes, but I'm digging the show, and we'll talk about it next week.
I'm sure they'll blow up the brainy thing, and then everything will be hunky-dory.
Oh, dude, it'll be sweet. It'll be cool if, like, when Nolan's shooting at it, you see numbers coming up out of it, like...
Oh, and we got the reveal of the mother, or the wife of Rafe.
Right, Linda Hamilton.
Yes.
So
who
I
was shocked by seeing. I was just like, whoa, wow,
yeah,
okay.
So she has been... Basically what they do, remember that Irathiant dude, his family was captured by them. So what they do is they kidnap your family and make you do stuff for them.
Yes.
So apparently they had his mom the whole time or whatever. So whatever. We'll see more about that. Now, Bill, what do you say we do some news?
Let's do some news.
Woo-hoo! All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
Well, we've had our first set of injuries, I guess, due to this Mentwell ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
That's not funny.
That's terrible. Four firefighters were injured after helping a college marching band perform the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge on Thursday. Firefighters Tony Gritter, 41, and Alex Quinn, 22, remain hospitalized after the incident, which happened Thursday morning at the Campbellsville University campus in Kentucky.
High school memories.
Hey, please.
The two firefighters were in the bucket from the truck, and they were raising it up over the students to spray the water down and the ice and everything. And well, I guess they weren't paying attention because there happened to be power lines directly under the bucket.
The ice is gonna break!
Yeah, well,
you know
the power lines.
It's an ice bucket. Does it have to have ice in it or is it just a bucket?
No, they put ice in it. Yeah, it's gotta have ice in it.
Oh, okay.
It's not like Julie Chen on Big Brother where there was no ice in the bucket. It's gotta be ice in the bucket. But as they're raising the their bucket They hit the power lines, and I guess the two firefighters that were in it got the shit shocked out of them.
Oh,
and they are
shit.
One of them's in critical condition right now.
Dude, that's not good.
It just kind of reeks of, I don't want to say irresponsible, but I mean, I'm looking at the picture, and the girder thing that raises them is right there. I mean, there's freaking power lines everywhere. What are you doing?
Well, another thing is, like, okay, there's the ice bucket challenge, and I can understand they're raising all this money for ALS, which is great.
Yeah.
But another thing, it's everywhere.
It's taken, so annoying. Oh,
it's like on TV, it's on the internet, it's on Facebook, it's on Twitter. You can't
get
away with it.
Everybody's got to do it. Even, you know what cracks me up is I can understand the celebrities doing it because people want to see that. But then whenever you get assholes from the middle of Ohio on my feed that I don't even know them, they just happen to be friends with someone I'm friends with, and then they're like, oh, I'm going to do the ice bucket challenge and I want to call out. They're not even mentioning ALS, research, right. Donate, well, anything. They just want to put themselves on the internet with getting water poured on them because they know they're going to get attention.
Right. Well, my point was that there's the ice bucket challenge, but everyone wants to, I can't just do the ice bucket challenge. I got to trick it up. And they got to do something extreme. And that's when somebody gets hurt, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, let's go way up in the air and dunk it or whatever.
The only responsible ice bucket challenge I've seen so far was from Ben Folds. Lives in California. He even says, there's a drought. We shouldn't be wasting water. He gets his son to get a water dropper of water out of the toilet and then hold a piece of ice over his head. And he drops a drop of water and drops the ice on him. And that was it. He was okay.
Gordon Ramsay's cracked me up. He did one where his whole family dumped the stuff on him. And of course he's in a Speedo.
Of course he is.
But, Conan's was my favorite, how they dumped it on him. And he's like, all right, where's my $100? And they're like, no, 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 you don't get any money. It goes to ALS. He's like, what? And he's like, well, joke's on you. These ice cubes, plastic. That water, 90 degrees. And he goes, and someone takes a bucket of ice and they dump it on him. He's like, ah! And he goes, I challenge you, Jimmy Carter, Haley Joel Osment. And he says somebody else, but I couldn't stop laughing at Jimmy Carter.
That's
80s. Yeah.
I can appreciate that. You know, yeah. I'm just so tired of the ice bucket challenge already.
I think it's great. Raising money for charity, that's fantastic. I'm just saying that it's everywhere now and it starts to drive you nuts, but it's great at the same time. I'm not going to knock donating money to charity in any way.
And people should. It's a tax write-off.
I saw a hilarious thing on the news bill where a lot of Catholic churches have to say, actually, the ALS, they deal with stem cells.
Oh no, they're killing babies.
Do not do the ice bucket challenge.
You'll kill a baby.
Yeah.
And I challenge the Pope now.
Yeah, so it's just like
someone did challenge the Pope. Oh, it was Weird Al.
Weird Al.
Weird Al challenged the Pope.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, at least some people are having a sense of humor about it, but then you always have one asshole in the group on Facebook that has to go, yeah, well, someone in my family has ALS, and I think it's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened. Huh? I'm so much more self-righteous than you are.
Yeah, people don't need, I think it's fantastic raising money for charity. I'm just saying the people who, they need to trick it up and go to the extreme and all that. And
yeah.
I don't know what to say. The thing is, you're in a catch 22, whereas like, I'm so sick of hearing about it, but at the same time, it's doing great things. You know what I mean? So I'm an
asshole.
Zac Efron
challenged Eric the Midget. Or should I say Eric the Actor from the Howard Stern Show?
Right.
So, I mean, they're doing funny things. Some people are playing with it. They're raising attention, but they're having fun with it. Other people just use it for attention.
Yeah. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, neither do I. Moving on. Last week, I don't know how we missed this, but there was a huge anniversary. Huge.
Was it of our show?
No, of something even better. the Sega Genesis had its birthday.
Ridiculous.
Oh, the Genesis. Nice. 16-bit, Bill.
Or Mega Drive, as they called it.
Or was it 8-bit, just trying to pull itself off as...
No, it was 16. It was full-on 16 with blast processing.
Nice.
Yeah, so now it's 25 years old. It was released on August 14th, 1989 in the United States.
Wow. Bill, you own one, right, when it came out?
Yeah, I remember the birthday party that I got it. It was the box with Altered Beast in it.
Sweet.
I mean, I'll never forget. I heard we were down in the game room, me and my friends from, I think it was third grade.
I know!
Yeah, it was Mrs. Knisner's class, so I think it was third grade. Say so it, I was Bill, in third grade.
What did they say in Altered Beast?
Rise from your grave.
That's right.
I was having the party, and I heard somebody said that my dad had come, and I just knew that he had something.
Wow.
And I ran upstairs with my friends, and he's sitting there in the kitchen at the table smiling. And I look down kind of underneath the table, and there's the Sega Genesis box. And I was just like, oh, my God.
Let the games begin.
It sounded like Bane.
Yeah, your dad sounds like Bane. That's, you know, see, I eventually owned a Sega Genesis, but it was like years later. I got the TurboGrafx-16. But
has great games.
Yeah, my friend Ray had the Sega Genesis, so I still got to play it. And I remember Altered Beast. It was just like, oh, man, it's just like the arcade. And then after a while, you're like, well, it's not really just like the arcade, but it's still fun.
The best part was turning it on for the first time and it going,
I know.
It was just really cool. I still have that exact system and my Sega CD. I got it all sitting here about 20 feet from me, and I don't play any of it, but I still got it.
All of it's out of date. I do remember you and I... years later, Xbox 360, we bought Golden Axe, and we were playing it together, two-player. You were in your home state, and I was here, and we were playing Golden Axe, and that was awesome.
We played Golden Axe, and they also did, what was the one where you, like, slid around the level, and there was the guns and the...
Gunstar Heroes.
Yes!
That they was had... so much fun.
Yeah, so, I mean, there I was... That I love that they have those now.
Oh my God, she loved it too, Bill.
Yeah, she really did. Right, moving on. Just in case you have...
Do you remember that?
Maybe $2-3 million. The 1938 Action Comics number one has gone up on eBay.
You should write children's books.
Oh, I'm sorry, I take that back. The man auctioning the comic has already turned down a flat offer of $3 million, so he wants SMT! More. He wants more than that. It has a grade of 9.0, so that's one of the highest that's ever been graded.
Damn, that's in good condition.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. With white pages.
Somebody get Walt Flanagan on the phone.
Oh, shit. Get that guy in there so he can... bring it in the store and then go, I just don't have enough money for this, but thanks for bringing it in. Yeah. Or he'd go, I'll give you $1 million for it, but it's worth $5 million. Well, we have
overhead. Do you know somebody with $5 million?
Yeah.
No.
All right. So, next story. Juneau, Alaska. This is pretty, intense stuff.
Is that a proper name?
Yes, it is. A person in the Mendenhall Valley neighborhood must have had a bad feeling about an unidentified object on the side of the road because it was reported as a suspicious device.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, the report on Tuesday afternoon prompted a police officer to respond to the Threadneedle Street to check it out. He didn't know what it was either. Police then dispatched an officer who specializes in explosive ordnance disposal to investigate.
Hey, you guys!
The officer didn't have to use the force to realize what it was. A plastic Star Wars lightsaber toy.
Awesome!
So some poor kid lost his lightsaber hilt
And they're like, oh, that looks like a friggin' bomb, man.
Oh my goodness.
And it killed the officer.
Oh my God. The lightsaber was, it was unstable.
It was. The kyber crystal.
Hey, wait, a double-bladed lightsaber?
Yep, it just, oh God, why'd you have to play that? Now I feel off.
You know the guy took it home with him, right? He's like, dude, I'm keeping this.
Yeah. He says it was not an explosive in any way. The confusion must have been in part because the plastic expandable lightsaber was taped.
He's like, this isn't clumsy or random as a blaster.
I know. Why wouldn't they go like, well, why don't you take a picture of it?
It's not funny.
Let's waste our tax money picking up a toy that is glued to a stick or taped to a stick.
To do in Juneau, Alaska.
I guess not. All right, are you ready for this? Are you ready for McDonald's bringing a new item to their menu?
Ooh, oh. McDonald's?
Yeah.
Oh, what is it, Bill?
Oh, man, this is so amazing. McDonald's is introducing yet another non-burger item. Even in the test markets, may look like a strange move.
Going to McDonald's instead of finishing here.
But they are ready to unveil mozzarella sticks.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
You know it.
The new sticks were recently spotted by GrubGrade, complete with marinara sauce and a handy sticker.
That, I'm not going to get that. It's like diarrhea on a stick.
Well, you know what's really bad about mozzarella sticks is I don't even think they use mozzarella in mozzarella sticks. I think chewy cheese substance.
It's like, Elmer's glue, deep fried. Yum.
Yeah, and they always load it with salt because it doesn't taste like anything. So it's a fried chewy salt stick.
I do love a nice fried mozzarella in marinara sauce. Delicious. But I'm not getting it at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Not at McDonald's.
Yeah, not at McDonald's.
I'll pass on the McMozzarella sticks.
I wonder what kind of cheese they make with that.
American blue cream cottage Gouda Edam provolone Romano Swiss. You have your entire cheddar family.
Just all mixed together? Wow, that's kind of impressive.
What was the pizza that Shredder offered in the new Ninja Turtles movie?
Yeah, it was with all those cheeses.
The 60 cheese pizza?
Yeah. That was the same thing as that lady.
Yeah, that's what they're using in these. So, you know.
Aisle 4 check.
Oh.
It was nowhere near aisle 4. And that, I think that's the big story of the week. So let's end news on that note.
The most amazing flavor.
Mmm.
Guaranteed.
Right, what do you say, Bill? We do some DVDs.
I say that's an excellent idea, sir.
Our 300th episode, 300th DVDs. I know that's not accurate. We didn't do DVDs in the first couple episodes, did we?
No.
Did we do it in episode 2?
I don't think we did.
We started doing it pretty quickly, though.
Right.
So, let's do it! Whee! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
Oh man, he's really excited about the DVDs.
I would be too.
Holy crap!
All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have this week?
Oh my God!
DVDs for August 26, 2014. Starting off with the Criterion Collection release of All That Jazz.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Wow.
I watched it quite a bit growing up because my sister loved this freaking movie.
Bill, can we just pause here for a second? I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
Baby is driving me crazy. She's lost her ball again, and she's just crying in the background.
I could hear her.
I don't want the whole episode to have a crying dog in the background. So can you reach it, Steven? I think it went behind the refrigerator, of all things.
How did it get back there?
Oh, she's ruining episode 300.
There's a locker in the guest room.
What the heck?
Do you see it? No, no, Bill, wait. I mean, Bill. Steven!
Hold on. Oh my god.
They're going on a search for a ball. A ball that has lost its way. The ball will return, but only to its true owner. An owner with enough gumption and determination to retrieve said ball. Will it be Steven? Will it be Jason?
There we go. I gave her a new ball. So,
oh, okay.
Forget it. We're not going to pull the refrigerator out from the wall right now.
Sucks when you lose.
All right, Bill. DVDs.
All right. So All That Jazz is the Bob Fosse directed film.
I know.
And it's Criterion, so it'll be loaded with stuff you'll never watch.
Are you even gay?
Bob Fosse? I don't believe so. Roy Scheider, on the other hand, totally gay.
Ridiculous.
I know. All right, next we have Blended on Blu-ray.
Oh, wow, that's an Adam Sandler movie.
It is.
I can't wait to see that.
Holy shit.
Barry Moore. Yeah, we're just going to keep going.
Why? Don't you want to see that?
No. I'm just being honest. No.
Okay.
I'll pass. All right, next we have...
This sucks.
Oh. We talked about this not long ago. The Double with Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, yeah!
Gee, one punch!
Huh?
I have no
idea.
Yeah,
we were talking about another movie with doubles, doppelgangers, and we brought up this movie.
Yeah, apparently he's driven insane by the appearance of his doppelganger. So, yeah. The Double. And it's directed by the guy, I can never pronounce his last name right, Maz from the IT Crowd. Richard Iodi.
Yeah, Richard Iodi.
Richard Coyote. I'm glad Mike appreciated that one.
Wow, talk about a fake laugh.
Yeah, he's such a cackling bastard.
It's real!
No, it's not. Next we have Haven, the complete fourth season. This show is still on the air.
I know, I can't believe it. Heather and I watched season one. We watched like the first two episodes of season two and lost track of it, never got back to it. And it's still on!
Yeah, I just didn't care. After the first season, I was like, eh.
I haven't got a clue.
It's kind of typical of like Stephen King based properties. They just kind of don't translate well.
It was just a concept and they just made it into their own show. I don't know what it has to do with Stephen King, but I was really excited about it.
It was based on that Paul.
The Colorado Kid.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I know, but. They made it into their own thing. Right. It has nothing to do with the book, but
it's the same way with Under the Dome. Under the Dome has absolutely nothing to do with the book.
I'm not going to say that I wouldn't ever watch Haven. I enjoyed the show for what it was, but whatever. I'll never return to it.
It's not funny.
Wait, Gordon sounds like Forrest Gump there, doesn't he?
It's just not funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's not funny.
Live like a box of chocolates.
Now, we didn't need that, Bill.
Sorry. Should I went a different route? Should I went, Jenny, I don't know what love... Or wait, no. I may not be a smart man, but I know what love is.
Just pretty much not do any of that.
Hey! Yeah. I saw that movie so many times.
What the heck?
Jenny and me were like peas and carrots.
Shut up. This is
All right, next we have
Ouch.
The 1958 teensploitation film High School Confidential.
Interesting.
Yes, with John Barrymore and Mamie Van Doren.
Holy shit, that's an old movie.
Oh, yeah. Jackie Coogan.
I like it. We have, first of all, we have Drew Barrymore in Blended, and then her, great-great-grandfather in
yeah.
This. Wow.
But I only bring this up for Mamie. Mamie, who I love. I think she is like, I remember seeing her in, I think it was Girls Town. On Mystery Science Theater 3000, it was another one of those teen exploitation movies, and I just went gaga. Like, oh my gosh, who was that?
You know, he's better than her, though, Bill.
Gabby Griffin! I love her so much!
Yeah, that sounded like me.
Oh, okay.
Next, we have a huge film. Big release, straight to video, Jersey Shore Massacre.
Oh, great. This is the, like, shark movie they made for sci-fi, right?
Sort of, I think so, yeah.
I'm from New Jersey. I'm in real estate.
Yeah, and the only thing I know about this film is that the disgusting whack packer known as Bigfoot is in it.
I'm Buddy Velastro, and I'm just an average baker from New Jersey.
Yeah, that's him. And anytime Bigfoot is on the Howard Stern Show, I have to turn it off because I just find the guy so freaking creepy.
And the most important thing about Snooki is a poof.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for that, buddy. He's just buddy chiming Velastro. In. He's helping us out there.
Yeah, well, he's got to add a little something. Next, we have a release from Shout Factory, The Legend of Hell House.
What the hell, dude?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, 1973, with Roddy McDowall, I think. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's Cornelius.
Yes, Cornelius.
Hey, you guys.
Can't say I've ever seen it, but good on you, Shout Factory. You're giving people what they don't want.
I would totally watch that, though.
Oh, yeah, so would I. Next we have
Ilakume Shekuhe Udeklanatuizu Ula Hurmuri Shekasuhe Alesha.
Oh, he said it better than I ever could. So moving on.
That translated to
Queen Margot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, this I remember this film because it got was it an Oscar winner or something? Like, it was like the international Oscar winner. It had Isabella Adjani in it.
Isabella. You mean like a Mike Isabella, Bill?
Yeah, like Mike Isabella.
Oh, my God. That cackle. Good Lord.
And I just remember that it was really gruesome, and it had a good bit of sex in it. So.
Kill me.
By the way, in Hotel Hell, remember the waitress? Did she seem like she had mental problems?
I think she did. I think she was one of those, like,
she literally, one day, she's like, I'm going to kill everybody.
Yeah. I'm sorry!
Perfect!
I think that place was actually a halfway house.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, no, wait. Not, oh, my God.
Oh, my God!
Yeah!
Really exciting.
It's like having a lobotomy.
You know, Sons of Anarchy, people love that show.
I watch it. I hate watch it.
Yeah, I hate watch it also.
Never mind. But I loved it so much in the season 1 and 2. I love the show so much.
Yeah, and then it just went off the rails. It's frustratingly awful.
It's just... People, the characters do such stupid shit on the show, it makes me so angry.
Yeah, and especially the end of this last season, where I was just like, are you effing kidding me?
Yeah, basically something terrible happened because somebody didn't text somebody some information yeah. on the phone.
Hey, that's drama. That's real life, son.
I know. I'm going to hate watch the final season.
Yeah, so am I. I just want to get it over with. It's like tearing a Band-Aid off.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, oh, well, they're wrapping it up. I gotta watch it. You know what I'm saying?
But in true exploitation of dum-dum fashion, this is being released in three different exclusive versions. Yes, at Walmart, if you happen to buy it, where I think most people that are fans of the show would buy it, and I don't mean anything negative by that, although I do, you get a beanie in it. So now you can complement your wardrobe with a Sons of Anarchy beanie.
Cool.
Yeah. And,
what?
If you go to Best Buy, you get a digital comic book.
I'm not impressed.
Oh, digital comic books. Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you go anywhere else, you just get the awfulness that is Season 6 Blu-ray.
Holy shit.
Anarchy.
The thing I always liked about the show is that the dark humor, it was funny, but it's,
yeah,
it's become so, like, serious and ham-handed. You know?
You know where I, when they started getting into the shit where, Tig's family got involved, like his daughter and all that stuff, is when,
yeah,
it started.
Yeah. When they started going hardcore, and you know, when they killed off a fan favorite character, I don't care what anyone says, like, oh, this show's hardcore. They killed a character that everyone loved. No, 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 no. That's when you lost me. Because yeah, it was ridiculous.
Well, and it was so overtly manipulative.
It reminds
in
me
its...
of, like, when Stephen King in the On Writing book, he talks about when you write yourself in a corner, add a bomb to the story. And I felt like Kurt Sutter, he wrote himself in a corner, have a bomb. What did they do? They blew up the clubhouse of the Sons of Anarchy. That was like, I knew right then, it was like, he's so out of ideas.
Yeah, he's done.
He's now has the IRA bombing their friggin' motorcycle clubhouse, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, we like, killed this one guy in a really horribly violent, awful way. What can we do now? Let's just blow shit up.
And I like Kurt Sutter. He's this crazy guy. He pisses everyone off on Twitter. He can't keep his mouth shut. And I just feel like maybe the show was on for too many seasons, Bill.
I think that's what it is. I think the Sons of Anarchy was a 3-season show and it went,
I know,
4 seasons too long. All right, next we have the Criterion release of Vengeance is Mine.
Vengeance is yours?
Yeah, no, his.
Vengeance
theirs.
Wait, whose?
That guy's over there.
With great vengeance and furious anger.
great.
Yes, this is the Japanese film about the middle-aged dude who just wants to start killing shit.
I claim vengeance.
Yeah, and he's, like, chased by cops all over Japan.
Wow.
He always gets away. And then he hooks up with this chick that runs a whorehouse, and they
nice.
Love each other. But, you know, shit's going to get bad. And shit.
Great samurai killed when they have to.
But, yeah.
Is he a samurai?
No, he's just a dude that wears a suit.
Holy crap!
I know. Shocked the shit out of me.
Just a suit, huh?
Yeah, just a suit.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
He's a nice dresser?
Oh, yeah, he's snazzy. Well, put together. Oh, and speaking of exclusive editions, holy shit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 exclusive editions for The Walking Dead 4th season Blu-ray.
Holy shit, the Punisher!
It's him!
Wait, that was not the Punisher. It's The Walking Dead.
It's Rick!
Wait, so now they've got to be like, buy all of these.
Yeah, you've got, okay, go to Walmart and you can buy the Prison Key Edition, or you can get the Comic-Con pre-order Prison Key Edition with Sheriff Badge.
Give it!
A lot of zombies getting killed, though.
Yeah.
Apparently. Okay. And they're all dead.
Yeah, I think they cleared it up pretty well. Or you can get the exclusive McFarlane Toys Tree Walker and Case.
Hey, you guys.
I can't buy all this shit. I'm waiting for it to, I've already seen it. I don't want it.
Or you could get the Walmart exclusive with the soundtrack, because if there's one thing The Walking Dead is known for, it's its music.
Bear McCreary music. No, wait a second. The only thing I know it from is the theme. I don't think
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Do you? I mean, every once in a while I notice some music, but it's very like mood type of music.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Except for, remember when the governor, they would play that sound, whatever he was on screen and being ominous.
I must have blocked that out.
Oh.
Who are you?
He's the governor. I'm the
governor. Or you could get the Target exclusive Steelbook.
Shit. Steven, have you bought any of the Walking Deads?
No.
It's because you watch it, and then when it's over,
it's done.
Yeah, it's done. Who the hell wants to own this?
And guess what?
I can watch it in reruns.
Yeah, and guess what? It also all comes on Netflix eventually.
Yeah.
Every season.
That's what keeps me from buying TV shows. The only show I've flat out bought recently was Strike Back.
Ooh.
And that's only because I wanted to watch
Ouch.
It.
That's a fun show, man.
Yeah, and it's really the, I could have watched it on like Cinemax Go, but that's just such a pain in the ass. So I just bought it, and it was on sale, so. I'm sorry, I went off track. Or you could get the Best Buy exclusive lenticular cover edition of The Walking Dead 4
season.
Now
what's that? It's lenticular cover.
Lenticular is one of those things where you move it and the things like in the background change. Kind of like the 3D covers of stuff, like the 3D cover of Pacific Rim.
Gotcha.
Ooh, move the star to the head. Ow!
Nice.
Yeah, so when you move this one, the zombies behind Rick move.
Awesome.
Butt stroke the zombie back into his grave.
Let's do it. And finally, we're going to end on something that I actually do enjoy, but I haven't seen in probably 20 years. And that is What's New Pussycat? The Peter Sellers, Peter O'Toole film. Woody Allen. It's old. 1965. Yeah, 1965. But yeah, I always like this movie. It's goofy and fun. And I love Peter Sellers and Peter O'Toole.
Yeah, it's not that old.
It's pretty old.
Catfight on
that old. Bill.
Awesome.
That's really old. That's ancient. It's like tied up and you have to dig it out and brush the fossils and before you can put it in the Blu-ray player.
It's like a dinosaur dig when you find it. You got the little brush like
super old.
It's like the E.T. landfill dig.
Yeah. Yeah, except not like that at all.
Nuh-uh. You're so full of it.
And that is DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Woo-hoo-hoo! Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see
Oh, Jesus. All right, everyone, that was episode 300 of Entertainment Landfill. Woo! Boom goes the dynamite! Woo!
Holy crap!
I know! right? It's awesome.
Oh my God!
Thank you, everyone, for supporting the show and listening to it for all these years. 9 years of doing the show. Bill, you and I, like, when we first started the show, we kind of knew each other. We didn't know each other that well.
No, not that well.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I didn't even know what you look like for the first years of the show.
Yeah, and that's because I hid myself. Don't look at me, you'll turn into Medusa.
But now, like, you're, like, flying to Texas. We're, like, seeing movies and stuff. It's awesome.
Hanging out.
It's been great, and you even got to know Steven and my family and my dog. Yep. Who's insane.
And I'm going to bring my dog next time so that they can go insane together.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I don't know why he's so excited. Why is Frankie like that?
Are you because, even gay?
No, it's because my dog, he's related to the dog that is the dog of Ariana Grande's dead grandfather.
Oh, my God!
Jeez, oh, years. Hey, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. And this is the part in the show where we thank our patrons. And I need to open that part of the show up. So
you literally open it up? Like,
yeah, like a package?
Yeah.
Or something like that. But first of all, I wanted to thank Ken, also one of our patrons, for calling into the show. It was awesome having you on the show. And I'm looking forward to watching Pawn Stars this week. Steven, apparently you already watched it. Bill, you have already seen it, so I need to get myself into it and understand it, if it were.
The way it works.
I want to plug a few things also. I want to plug Adam Sexton's podcast, The Past and the Pending. Yep. So check that out. He's done the first episode. Also, one of our patrons, Mike from Chicago, he said he has a website called thegreenhead.com. Now, I don't know what's on this website.
I'm going to look this up because I don't want it being, you know, nasty in nature.
Yeah, I don't think it is. It probably has to do with plant products or something. Greenhead?
Yeah, I bet it does. It's cool stuff.
Yeah, is it like a shop where you buy stuff?
Yeah.
So I want to plug his website. Check that out. But computer consulting or something like that? No, I don't think that's it either. Yes. No, I don't think that's what it is.
Or is it thegreenhead.com?
It's thegreenhead.com. But anyway, let me thank our other patrons.
One of those two.
Like Darren Finland. Hey, Darren. He left us an awesome voicemail. Paul Ty, also awesome voicemail from the UK.
Really?
Tom Aresto. Wee! Bill, what are you laughing at?
The dog. He just jumped on top of me. My God.
Mike Isabella thought that was hilarious. I also want to thank Todd from the ATL. Woohoo! Steve Steinbach. Brian. Doesn't have Brian's last name here.
It's Brian.
Brian. Adam Howard from the Bay Area. And Adam, so disappointed. No voicemail, guys, from Adam.
Oh, he gets an F.
I'm sure he was busy. Marvin! Sean Uyoka! Michael from Chicago. Thegreenhead.com. Just plugged it for you. Hodor! Who, of course, lives in a land far away. Apparently, you know, he gets the show on a frequency in his head.
He's the most monosyllabic guy in the Seven Kingdoms.
And no one else can hear it.
Watching the reflection of one of those pools.
He stares into a well at his reflection. Also, John Waltz. Jason Pash. Ken Proventure again! Kelly Murray! Jenny! Bill Lochner.
Oh, I like that guy.
Tom Bickmore! Ceruli Meyer, Adam Sexton, who sounded really tired in his voicemail.
Yeah, I hope he gets some sleep.
Get some rest, drink some Gatorade.
Get dehydrated. Replace those electrolytes.
Energy bar, something like that. Carl! Thank you, Carl, with a K. Slade! Also, Brandon! Woohoo! Nathena! Kelly! B. Sly! Bill's dog, Webster!
Sorry.
Ross Ponyi, Rob Bickmore, thank you for your voicemail. Sam Abbott, Mike Kiley, woohoo! Mark Anderson, and his brother, Stephen Friednod Anderson, Mr. Andersons, Andy Sims, Terry Farthing, Steve Swiley. No, it's just Swiley, right?
Swiley. The Swiley.
The Swiley.
Jean-Francois. Mike Metcalf and Paul Wongpan, thank you guys so much for being a patron. Also, I want to thank Steve. I've already thanked you. All of our voicemail people. That's what I was getting at. Rick, Todd, Mike, Steve, Steinbach, Hannah, Adam Sixon, Darren, Paul Ty, Swiley, Rob Bickmore, and Stephen Fredon Anderson. Thank you guys for the voicemails. Also, Ken Preventure again. Thank you guys so much for supporting the shows. 9 years, episode 300, and we'll be back with episode 301, right?
Yeah.
If you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/landfill. Check out etlandfill.com. Join us on Facebook in our awesome fan club. Doing cool stuff on there. Send us a voicemail at 1206-309-4729, or you can send it to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, Steven. Thank you, Bill. And thank you, Baby Dog, for completely distracting us during the entire show. I'm trying to think about how we can get rid of her every week for the show. It's going to happen. Just can't take it anymore. Sorry.
Webster's getting there, too.
All right, guys, that's our show. See you next time. Later,
bye.
Bill. Later, Steven.
Later, everyone.
Again, Bill, Steven, thank you for doing the show with me for all these years.
Thank you.
And a special thank you to my wife, Heather, for supporting me doing the show, just not being at the house while I did the show, giving me space to work on the show. Thank you, Heather. I love you. All right, guys, that's our show. Whee! I've lost my voice.
Oh, no, son, you're going to have to get out of here now. This is a meeting.
Funny.
What the hell, dude?
If you shut up,
I can't even smile anymore.
Holy crap!
Holy shit!
Kill me! Kill me! Kill me!
You should write children's books.